But you know her team, as everybody thinks she's all this groupie, her team has marketed over 50,000 memberships. 50,000! The one thing that this young lady is going to train us on today is to try to find that balance. Anybody been trying to find that balance?
Yes.
Group, small business, recruiting, everything else. She has put a lot together, and I think you're going to want to get your notepads out and take some serious notes, because I want to be back to the front of the room. Miss Brenda Anderson! One change, sorry about that, I forgot.
Can we do it?
You do it.
No, you do it.
No, you come in and do them with me.
Okay. That's not fair, I haven't seen them.
I know, me either. I forgot, we have slides from corporate that we have to go through first. Thank God I have Mark and Jason and Doug, and they're going, why do we put those up there for you? Don't you want to use them? Okay, so let's see what we got going here first. Okay, looks really good. Believers and Achievers, how many people going to Vegas?
Yeah!
60-60 continues. How many people like that?
Yeah.
Brenda, you were instrumental in the group school. How important is it for them to be at the group school?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, you have a phenomenal trainer here in the state, by the way. I mean, all of our trainers are phenomenal, but I'm kind of partial to this one you have here. Okay. Her and I are very alike in a lot of ways, so you're very lucky here. And if you've taken it, take it again. If you've taken it twice, take it three times. If you've taken it three times, take it four. I'm serious. Take it again and again and again, because each time you take it, you've gone a little bit further in the business, and each time you take it, you hear things in a different way. So it's so hugely important. I just loved what they've done with the revamp on it. I went from 40 slides to 160 slides, and they've just done an incredible job. The workbook is phenomenal. I mean, I love the workbook. I wanted to sit down in the audience and, you know, I want to come to go to a training so I can sit down and do the workbook. I think that's phenomenal. It makes the learning so much more conducive in that environment with that workbook. So get into that group school. Take it. You're so lucky to have such an awesome trainer here. So if you're not registered for the next one, get registered and be there, because it will grow your business tremendously, not just in the group. Even if you're not going to do group, you will sell more memberships, and you will recruit more people or sell more small business plans. Whatever area you're working, I guarantee that they monitor the success. And typically associates who attend group school are like 30 times more successful than those who don't. So there you go.
Yep, exactly.
Those are good enough numbers for me.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. And then we have the recruiting calls. And in the recruiting calls, everybody know about the live recruiting calls and the recorded ones on the corporate website? If you don't, go to your corporate website. You'll see all those. Upcoming events we already have. Vegas is sold out. How many people are upset? What's that?
They still have it on the back office.
It's still on the back office. Steve says it's not sold out. Run to your back office today and sign up, because evidently corporate hasn't figured it out.
No, they said there was 50 seats left.
There's 50 seats left.
Yesterday afternoon.
Okay, so after you leave this room, you want to make sure it's 39 or 20, okay?
They'll be gone I would do it tonight. They'll be gone by morning.
Brenda, yeah. You've known Nick for years.
Yes. You want me to stay up here?
Okay. Yeah. Because I already blew the other thing, so I figured we'll just tag team it. We're good.
We can do that.
Nick Serba used to be the vice president of small business, but he's also a million-dollar ring earner as earned. Does anybody know that Mark Brown's on his team, and he's a million-dollar ring earner as earned? Kind of tells us, you might want to pay attention to this and write some notes, okay?
You've got to take responsibility. Take total responsibility. And these three words that are up here, I'm going to tell you they're the most magic words, I think, in the history of mankind. And those are these words. I am responsible. I am responsible. Because when you say, I am responsible, that eliminates all the opportunity for excuses to blame it on somebody else. That frees you to take action today. If you don't say you're responsible, you're waiting on what everybody else is going to do. I am responsible.
That was good.
How many people would like to have him for a Super Saturday?
Yeah.
All right. Keep beating up on Luke. Luke has been on his secretary's phone. He's left voicemails. We will call him a stalker soon. But we will get Nick Serba here. I guarantee it. Okay? So we got some other top guest speakers out here in Utah years ago. We just kindly nagged at them. Okay, I'm pushing the button. There we go. Topics you voted for. How many voted in the Believers and Achievers? Brenda, is any of these on your list?
Yeah. Yep.
So why don't you go through which ones that you think are so important?
All of them. They are. There isn't one on there that isn't.
Matter of fact, you're even going to talk a little bit about this today, aren't you?
I am.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are going to get a little sneak peek. Sneak peek on what you're going to see in Vegas. So those are the topics a few surprises.
Retention. Okay?
So those that have not registered for Vegas, if there's 50 tickets left or whatever it is, you might want to get it done like right now. Jason Lavender. Jason Lavender, $250,000 ring earner. Tell us the background on Jason.
GVP in Texas. And sharp, sharp guy. Young guy. Oh, my goodness. He's sold 1,300 this year. He makes the rest of us look really bad.
Whoa, Luke just said that he leads Rob Vest this year in total membership sales.
Well, he was running. Is he leading him now?
Yeah.
He's been running neck and neck with Rob Vest. Is he? Okay, he's way ahead of him this year. Like I said, he keeps, I mean, that's what's great about this business. You have people like Jason Lavender who are raising the bar for the rest of us and just keep us wanting to do even more and more, because anytime you see somebody hit a threshold, you know it's possible, right? And when you see another one hit it, you know it's possible. And that's what's great. And he's just a great leader and a great trainer. And I know he'll be doing some of that training. He's one of our EAB members, too. And he represents the group marketing division on our behalf. But he's also a full-service associate as well. But it's nice that we have one of our GVPs, our fellow GVPs, on the EAB board. So you'll want to hear from him. He's excellent.
And then on top of that, how many people would like to get him here? Woo! Get with Deanne. Deanne Foster's working on him. Okay. When he calls you a stalker, you have to quit. Until then, we don't. Okay.
Years from now, associates will be sitting up in stands just like this everywhere saying to themselves, man, I wish I had been there when. I wish I'd have been there when Legal Shield got the leadership all together and had the field force lock arms together, no matter what part of the business they wanted to work, and move forward in one single direction. I wish I was there 20 years ago. But we're here right now, aren't we, guys?
Pretty awesome. October 5th in Vegas. Is anybody going to Orlando? Here's some of the speakers you guys voted for. Anybody vote for Rip Mason? Who else voted for Dave Cibula? The entire company. Brian Carruthers.
Darnell Self.
Alan Fernley lost? Oh, that hurts. Isn't that terrible? Patrick Hodges, Frank and Teresa Coyne. How many people like to get them out here? Okay, we're going to get them out here, too. We're working on that as well. Rob and Charlene McKenzie, they're RVPs up in Ontario. Michael Dorsey, he's actually going to be out here this year. I'll be darned. Don Thompson, we just had here. Scott Brooks, Tara Postenbach. Anybody heard Tara's Postenbach story? She's probably one that'll kind of blow you away when we get her here. I almost had her here for a while, but she's got a little boy, and it was another whole thing. Brooks Werkheiser, Cliff Malloy, and we had John Hoffman here just recently. So these are the people you can look forward to seeing. And then we just had Kim Melia here, about 6 months ago? So let's hear from Kim Melia.
Somebody says, tell me a little bit about why I would need legal services. And then they say, okay, I can see why I might need legal services. Tell me about the plan in my area. You show them the brochure, you show them the video. This all goes back into what? Being the messenger, not the message. Yay, this is good news.
Okay. Oh, look at that. We had some other ones in there. Danny Katoa, Harold Branch. Oh, this is for Vegas. Okay, that was Orlando. Okay. So we get Rim Mason, Dave Seville, Brian Carruthers, and Darnell Self's going to be down in Vegas. How many people think we're doing okay already? And it looks like the other ones are right there in line. We'll have to see how many they end up with. I think they're all going to be there, though, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah, they're all going to be there. So, has anybody ever heard Russell Peden speak?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Excitement. Mr. Excitement, exactly. Yeah. That guy, I met him in Nashville at my very first international convention, and he had me roaring, laughing the whole time I was around him. He was just unbelievable. Okay? Kai Deering, Mike Humes, that's going to be great. So, we got a pretty good lineup. I mean, I think we did better than Orlando. What do you guys think? Yeah. Okay. Larry Smith. Anybody know that Larry Smith guy? Yeah, he's actually going to be down there too. I'll be darned. Isn't that the darndest thing? Let's hear a little bit from Larry.
We need to be looking right now at our future and to understand what Rippon Allen said about taking this company from 1.4 to 7 million. We start today. We start today to move to 7 million.
I'm thinking he's excited. What do you think? I think it's going to be pretty exciting. So, let's see. Did we mention less than 500 seats left in Orlando? Okay. It was extended. Everybody understands this was extended, the 60-60? You do realize it could end in this month. If you guys don't go out and make it worth their time to run it. They said they would run it forever if we showed them the kind of lift they wanted on this program. So it's really critical that we take advantage of that. Redesign PowerPoint, group school we already talked about. Recruiting calls, those are the numbers. If you don't have them, they're on your back office. You can get them there. Okay? Now, we have to get rid of this PowerPoint before I bring the guest speaker up. Right. Okay. Now you guys really know who's in charge, don't you? It's not me. Okay, I'm just doing exactly what I'm told. There's strings behind me, and I can dance, whatever's necessary, all right? So, but you know, it's pretty phenomenal because it's funny how we brought up Jason Lavender. Jason Lavender, half of his business is on network marketing. Half of his business is personal sales, and you said he's taking out Rob Vest. I'm going to tell you right now, by the end of December, Rob Vest will be number one. You know why I know that? Because somebody got close to him last year, and he sold 1,000 memberships in 2 months. He said somebody was really getting close to me, and I wasn't going to let that happen. Rob Vest has never recruited another associate. He only works his own business as group benefits and made a little over $500,000 last year. But the young lady I'm going to bring up, if we're all ready for, is Ms. Brenda Anderson, that sold 5,000 memberships, but 50,000 organizational sales. You guys didn't know that, did you? So let's get on our feet and give it up for Ms. Brenda Anderson.
You're fine. Hey, we're all family here, right? We're all family. We're all human. Right, exactly. We are all family, and that's the thing. And none of us are perfect, right? So if that's the biggest mistake he makes, we're doing good. I've done bigger ones than that, let me tell you. All right, I have my little clock up here so I can watch the time. How many guests stayed with us? There were guests this morning. They came as a guest this morning and stayed with us. Tim? All right, I met Tim. Good stuff. Who else? All right, another one back here. And, okay, congratulations. We appreciate you. Oh, got another one right there. Okay, yeah, look, she's like being all shy. I promise I'm not going to make you come up here. She's like, I'm going to raise my hand. I don't know what that lady's going to do. I promise I won't do that to you. But come on up here. No, I'm just kidding. Congratulations for making the decision to stay. That's a good move on your part. First of all, we're glad that you saw something this morning that caused you to want to stay. And so I hope to be able to share some information with you this afternoon that will help you to, you know, launch your business here directly and start putting money in your pocket right away. Okay? So good to be here. Like I said, you all are spoiling me. Here in Utah, by the way. Thank you to all the leaders for all the spoiling. I'm not used to that. It's great. I said, golly, I feel so spoiled. I think I'll stay here a few more days. So I'm going to check back into the hotel when we leave the Super Saturday, George. So where's dinner tonight? I know where lunch is, okay? But no, good to be here with you. And I'm very blessed to have George and so many of you that are in the room on my team. I'm just blessed to have all of you as part of the leadership family because we're all really one family. But I can tell you that Utah is a special place for me because of the fact that the largest portion of my team, although Arizona is running a close run now, but I've got team all over the place. It's growing, not as a result of me, but as a result of others' efforts and growing into several different states. I'm watching all the states because I'd love to one day be able to say I have team in every state. That'd be fun. But I'm excited to say that here in Utah, I have the largest, my largest team is here. But like I said, Arizona is close behind because I've got my other half and myself. We've been doing some recruiting. As you know, my fiance is in the business. Some of you may not know that Bill and I are in the business together. However, we have separate businesses. So all of his qualification and everything he does is on his own. Our businesses are totally our own and separate. But we work together, obviously. But we have totally separate businesses. And you'll see probably some photos here. And in fact, he's sad that he's not here with you guys because he likes to be here. But he had to man the fort back there, and he had groups going on in Sacramento that he flew out to because he works all areas of the business too. And I started a little over 16 years ago. He started a little over 10 years ago. And that's how we met. He sat in the front row of my group school. And that was it. He was one of those, he got there early to help me, and he was staying late, and I thought, who is this guy? And we had, people saying, you guys should hook up, kind of thing. And I said, no, I don't date people in the business. And at that time, I'd been single for a long time. I said, I don't do that. But I'll tell you what ended up happening is, he wooed me, right? He wooed me. Good in sales. That's why he's doing so good in Legal Shield. So we met, but he's got his own business, because I had mine for about 5 years, and so I already had my business established and set up, and so he, started his Legal Shield business. I love the fact that I'm able to override his business, so that's been nice too. But we laugh about it because we met the year I earned my six-figure ring in 2003, and that's the year that we got engaged too, and so. He says that, we got two rings in 1 year, right? So we have a lot of fun working the business together. And yes, I'm still engaged. Okay. Just so all of you know, I believe in, taking it slow, making sure that everything is absolutely right. And, we'll see what happens. Okay. But I have to tell you, it's funny because the reason I'm sharing this story is because this morning I was telling Jared on the way here, I said, I have to call Bill because last night we got married. That was my dream last night. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh my goodness, is somebody trying to tell me something? So I figured, I'll have to share that with him. We'll get a kick out of it too. So he said to tell all of you hello. He sends his love and he'll hopefully be back with us. Next time, like I said, we have a lot of fun working the business together, but we go separate directions a lot of time because he's got stuff going on and I've got stuff going on. But he did have a part in this in that I gave him the information I wanted on PowerPoint. And he put it on slides. And so when I flipped through the final draft of it very quickly, very late, the night before I left. And so my disclaimer is, if there's anything on here that shouldn't be, it's his fault. All right? So with that, let me just share a few things about Bill and I and about my business. And I just want to spend just a few minutes sharing just a little more about me. I think it's always nice when someone comes in from out of state, especially if you've never met them or if you know very little about them. It's kind of fun to get to know. So I'd like to share some things with you so that you get to know me a little better, and I'd like to definitely have the opportunity to get to know all of you a little bit better as well. But we do like to have fun, both of us. We like to work hard and play hard, and this business allows us to do that, right? And so we keep that balance there of the fun and the work. So this is us on one of our Legal Shield paid for trips on a four wheeler. And we had other associates with us on this trip getting all muddy. And Bill was seeing how many puddles he could get in to get me covered in mud. So he was having fun doing that. This is us on a beach in California. This is another one of our trips a few years back. I've been on every trip the company's had out except for just one. I missed one that was to, I think, Reno. So there's only been one that I missed was Reno. So the in-state one. So if you're going to miss one, that's the one to miss. But every other one I made. That's Bill. He had to throw his NASCAR photo in because he wanted you all to see that when I met him, he had a mullet. Okay, he's wearing Wranglers, and yeah, this business will transform you. I'm going to talk about that because you've all seen him now. You should have seen him then. All right, and this is us at the NASCAR race. Took him for his birthday, and we all know who that driver is, right? Today's Miss Morgan, who's on Mr. Branch's team. A lot of you know her, but this was another birthday present that, again, Legal Shield allows me to do these things because it's not cheap to do this. But they had a NASCAR. Actually, you could actually go race a car, an actual NASCAR. And so they, you know, provided the suits and all that, and you could actually do X amount of laps, and it was X amount of dollars per lap, and so that was one of his birthday presents because he has a need for speed. And I figure if we do this, maybe he won't get tickets, and we won't have to use Legal Shield for that area of benefit, right? Right? Yeah, I wish, right? And this is that's the car he got to drive. Okay, he's pretty proud of that. It was fun to watch that. This is us on 4th of July. Went out and watched fireworks at the Rose Bowl with some good friends of ours. And just the stuff that we're able to do. I never was able to do this stuff before because when I worked a job, I couldn't get the time. And even if I had the time, I didn't have the money. And I always said I'd love to go do things. I just love doing things and experiencing things and sharing good times and moments. And this is down on Venice Beach. That's an entertaining place if you all have never been there. Yeah, it's very entertaining. So you got to go there just to experience Venice Beach, okay? And this is on one of our trips. I think that was in Maui, actually. Ziplining. We zipline every trip we take now. It's kind of a ritual. We found that we like that, love ziplining. So we find the other Legal Shield associates who want to do that. So if you're on this next trip in Jamaica, how many of you are going to be in Jamaica?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to zipline, just let us know because we'll be organizing a zipline trip. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't done it, step out. It's good. It's good. And this is in, we went to see Bill's grandkids in Kentucky, and we went to, this is in California, I think. See, as I start to forget where all of these are, my dad and his dad has since passed, but mine is still with us, thankfully. And those are both our papas, as we call it. That's our baby girl. All right, that's our baby girl right there. Yep. And this is in Jamaica on the trip they ran last year for the leaders. They took 35 couples, and we went to Jamaica and rode horses on the beach, but in the water, bareback. So like they had us get off, they took the saddle off. We were had bathing suits on underneath, went in the water on the horse's bareback. That's like an intense experience. I don't know, do we have any horse people in here? Maybe some of you have done that, but it's incredible. That was a first for me. So a lot of firsts in Legal Shield. Legal Shield has given us the ability to just really do a lot of firsts. This is us sipping our coconuts on the front of the villa that we stayed at. They had villas for us in Jamaica. On that trip with, we had a butler, a maid, and a cook. I talk about service. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, really? It was crazy. a lot of fun. This company knows how to take care of their people. And this is our home in Arizona. And Legal Shield's allowed us to go from a townhouse to that, which has just been great. That's Bill being a goof, as he always is, okay? He likes to pick the pictures that aren't so good of me. I said, what picture did you put on there? That's his first grandchild, grandbaby. So I have grandchildren by way of Bill. So he's got three and one on the way. So he's got number four on the way. That's Eli Pendleton. I said, I think they want him to be a president or something with that name, right? Okay. And named after Pendleton, okay, some of you know. Stuff all over. There's the little one. And we went to Kentucky just to see her recently. She turned two and got to be there to be with her on her second birthday just last month. So that was fun. That's the mama of the babies, of the grandbabies. So I had to get used to the whole G-ma thing. That was a whole new thing for me. Okay, G-ma thing. I think I can go with that. And that's her and I. So we had a lot of fun on these. There's he doing what he does best. There, snoozing with the little one right there. Yeah, that was just in Kentucky. I said, you were supposed to be watching. You're sleeping on the job. Well, he was sleeping too, so it was okay. And this is, I told a lot of you these. Wait till you see the other picture of the car, what Bill did with it. He thought that I shouldn't be the only one pictured with the car. Since he's also Players Club or Performance Club qualified as well in the BMW program. And so he was saying, well, I'm going to get my car too so they don't think that I don't have. I said, we don't need two BMWs. You know, he has a QX56 Infiniti, which we love. And I said, we don't need two of those. I said, so I'll get one. Now he's feeling kind of slighted. So I said, all right, here's what we'll do, okay? Well, then I'll let you get the next one and, you know, I'll get a different one. Or we'll end up with two. It'll be the two BMW family. So that could work out okay too. All right. So, with that, let's kick off this training. Enough about me. That's one of my favorite clips. I don't know how many of you have seen that, but it's each time I watch it, it's even more impactful every time I watch that and read those words, because it is so true. I mean, there is just this much sometimes that separates the unsuccessful from the successful, right? It's those little things. It's sticking around for just a little bit longer in the business to make, you know, to experience that success. It's I see people leave when they're just about ready to turn that corner, and it just drives me crazy. Okay? And so are you ready to turn up the heat? Are you ready to turn up the heat?
Yeah.
Okay. I shared a little bit about myself with you just so that you can understand not only a little bit more about me, but just to know that, you know what, I'm just like most people in our business. You know, no fancy background. I grew up in a family of six kids and one working parent. Struggled financially, my folks did. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of stuff. Didn't take family vacations, really, other than the station wagon 30 miles away to go see my grandparents, you know, and that kind of thing. And I didn't have any fancy education. Went to 2 years of clerical and, you know, got into the clerical arena in Phoenix and thought that was going to help me to reach all my dreams and goals, okay? And found out very quickly that wasn't going to be the case. And thank goodness the Legal Shield came into my life. And so we share the backgrounds like, and I share that so that you can understand that anybody can do this business. It's just a matter of what do you have here and what do you have here. You know, do you have the belief? Do you have the faith? Do you have the heart to keep going? Do you have, you know, do you have the reasons why you're even doing this business? Okay, and we're going to talk about some of those fundamentals. But my purpose here is not to tell you all about, you know, what I've done and the memberships I've written, and but I use that for teaching tools for you so that you understand what's possible. Because I know when I sat where you were sitting, it took me meeting people with similar backgrounds. It took me meeting a gal like Amilda Kaufman, who's a Millionaire Club member, for me to meet her one time new and then see her the next time at a convention and she was earning substantial income, for me to say, hey, wait a second, if she can do this, I can do this. You see, and that's what's so wonderful about this business, because no matter what your background, no matter what your education, no matter what, you know, you've got or don't have or whatever, you know, you can be successful in this business if you've got the heart and you care about people and you're coachable, okay? And so that's why we share the stories that we share. And I'm going to talk about balancing, you know, the organization. I'm going to go through a lot of that stuff. But really what I'm here to do is to give back what's been given to me over 16 years and to hopefully pour into you some things that will help you, because it's about you and your business, right? What can I provide? What information can I share? What hurdles have I gone through in my Legal Shield business that can help you? And if I can just help you even just a little bit, then it's worth it, and I've done my job here, okay? So let's look at some things that we're going to talk about today. He's creative, right? Let's talk about one band, one sound, okay? As George mentioned, I'm what they call full-service associate. How many of you consider yourself full-service associates? Good. I mean, at one time with Legal Shield, there used to be a big division of, you know, oh, are you a recruiter or are you a groupie? And the groupies didn't talk to the recruiters. And or are you small biz? You know, oh, you're over here. Oh, and you do CDL. Well, you're really up here on a cloud somewhere. And that's how it kind of was. I'm just going to be real with you. I'm very transparent, as most of you already know from the last couple of days. But that's how it was. And I could never figure that out, because what happened is when I found Legal Shield 16 years ago, I fell in love with the services, number one. I knew I could make money maybe doing a lot of different things, but it was the service and what the service provided that got me excited, okay? I was excited about marketing the service before I even saw the comp plan, okay? And when I looked at the comp plan, that's when I went, I think I might actually be able to not have to go get a job and be able to do this. Right? And so I didn't go get a job. But I can tell you I was only working at part-time in the beginning, because as I've told some of you the other days, that Larry Smith pointed out, Brenda, you're not working this business full-time. I wasn't working another job. I started Legal Shield. We didn't have the training and tools that we have now. But I started just marketing one-on-one. I just believed in the service. And I would go meet with Mark and his wife, and I would sit down, and I would show the brochure to him. I would read the plan coverage. We'd talk, and I would put him on the plan. I'd get a membership application out, and I'd sign him up. And then I'd ask them who I could go talk to. Who do they know that I could share this information with? And they'd give me referrals. And then I'd ask, if he gave me three, I'd ask for three more. And so I just started building my contact list that way, because I didn't have a lot of people that I knew. I didn't have a lot of, I didn't have a whole lot of experience or circle of influence or whatever. I didn't have any fancy positions that I'd held. I didn't have this big circle of influence. I didn't have this whole network of people. I didn't have that. Okay, I just knew this was a good service, and I knew that people needed it, and I knew that if I could just get out and tell enough people, that people would buy it, want to own it just like I would. And so I just started doing one-on-ones, didn't understand the network marketing side of things a whole lot, didn't understand the group side of whole things a lot. I just knew I'm going to go talk to people, I'd get referrals, they'd refer me to other people, and I would just continue that way. I'd be on one side of town, and then I'd drive clear to the other side of town, sign a membership up. By the way, you can make a living doing that, one-on-one sales, if that's all you did. Okay, and that's what I was doing. And in fact, I knew that I had to earn at least $2,000 a month in order to not have to go get a job. And at the time, I was only selling about two plans, a week. Okay, I knew I had to sell five plans a week. I needed $2,000 a month, which I equated. So some of you that are sitting here thinking, I'm trying to replace my income. Some of you may have no income right now and you're needing to do it quickly. Okay, my number was $2,000. I figured out I needed $2,000 a month to pay my bills. At the time, I was a senior associate, and I was $100 for a legal plan, a $26 legal plan, because we didn't have identity theft. And so I knew, okay, $100 at a senior associate level, I need to market how many plans? Five. So I knew I had to take my number from two to five, because two was only bringing me $800 a month. And that wasn't going to cut the mustard, and I was going to have to go get a job. And the fear of a J-O-B and having to work for a B-O-S-S, that and being broke and being in the same position 5 years down the road as I was then is not where I wanted to be. I mean, I was not going to sit at a kitchen table with my roommate at the time going, well, which one will they not shut off first? All right, well, let's pay this one, and then we can wait a week to pay this one because they won't shut that one off. All right? That's like, that's not how I wanted to live, and I didn't want to have to go get a job in order to try to make ends meet either because I would never get ahead. I had some credit card debt that I had acquired, that I'm not proud of, that I had acquired trying to keep ends meeting, okay? And I thought, there's no light at the end of the tunnel if I go back and do a job, a J-O-B, because the clerical position isn't going to pay me enough to be able to pay these cards off, get ahead, ever take a vacation or ever travel. And I thought, I've got to get myself out of this rut. Well, thankfully, I found Legal Shield and started to work that business. But I quickly realized that if I don't market, if I don't get a plan here, I'm going to have to go get a job. And so I threatened myself. You're going to have to go get a job. Oh, no, you're not. Okay, what do we got to do here, right? I was like, what do we, and so it was kind of like that was a defining moment because it was like, I either go get a job and then get caught up in that J-O-B rut. And I'm not telling you, if you've got a job, don't go quit it and say, that's not what I'm saying. Because I'll tell you what, it's if you've got one, you've got income coming in, that's the best way to do it because you've got some cushion, okay? But for me, personally, I think it was the best thing for me at that time to not go do that because it created a sense of urgency and forced me to just go out and make it happen. So you have to be willing to work, though. You've got to have a strong work ethic in order to make that happen. So, where's your work ethic at, right? And so question yourself about that. We're going to talk here about some of it, but I just want to kind of give you my story here of kind of how I ended up integrating and coming to the whole one band, one sound kind of philosophy long before even the company adopted it, and that's because our leadership, Larry Smith, adopted it, okay? And people will go as their leaders go, right? And so that's why the majority of people on his team do all facets of the business, right? But so I realized very quickly that I had to have 5 sales a week in order to make ends meet at senior associate level. And so I started tracking my activity to figure out what I was doing to get the 2. Because then I figured out if I could figure out what I'm doing to get the 2, like how many appointments was I going on to get the 2, and then how many calls did I have to make. And so I figured that out. And once I knew what that formula was, I knew what number of people I needed to contact in order to get the number of appointments, in order to get the 5 sales a week. Okay? And then I just made a decision, because it is a decision. I decided that that's what I was going to do. Once I figured out how I was going to do it, I said, I'm making a decision. This is what I'm doing. And I'm going to make this happen. And once you get that no lose, no fail attitude, like failure's not an option, it's amazing what you can do, okay? It's amazing how you attract all the right things into your path, okay, as far as people that are the avenues that you need for membership sales and to reach the goal that you have. So as if Saturday came, I knew that was one a day. And if Saturday came and I hadn't made my 5 sales, I worked, okay? I worked to get it done. All right, and I did not like working on Sunday. It's my personal philosophy. So I would do the best I could to get it done by Saturday because I did not want to work on Sunday. Okay, so that's what I did. And pretty soon, it's amazing how quickly I went from. I mean, I thought to myself, I should have made that decision a long time ago, because once you make that decision, it's like poof, all of a sudden, it's like I went to 3, 4, 5 very quickly, and there I was at $2,000 a month, and thought, okay. This is good. Now I can at least pay my bills. I don't have a lot of extra, but I can pay everything, so I'm not stressed about that. And now what else? How many more can I write? Okay. Well, then what happened is I went to my first convention. I saw some other people doing the group stuff and the network marketing stuff, and I was just simply marketing individual plans one-on-one. Okay, so I'm here to tell you, I'm living proof that you can make. When someone says, can I make, a couple $1,000s a month as marketing plans, I can say, yes, you can, because I did it 16 years ago without the tools we have. Okay, and the systems that we have. So I know it's possible. See? So I have no problem expecting someone to do that if they want to do that. If that's what Mark would want to do, unless he would do, I say, I would expect that you can do that because I know it's possible that you can. So that's why I want to share that with you. So that if you're sitting here thinking, I need to make X dollars a month to either compensate for the job you're not going to go get or the part-time job, it's very possible. Okay, if I did that 16 years ago, you can certainly do that and a lot more now with the tools and the leadership and the support that we have in place. Okay, but I was determined. I was determined. I just didn't let failure be an option. So, and I got around people. I mean, the personal development, I started doing a lot of that. That was a big part of it because I never did any of that, reading and all that kind of stuff. And I listened to leaders. I just listened. I'd see people successful and I'd say, oh, they recommend this book? Well, I'm going to get it. They recommend I'm going to do it. I mean, I just said, what do I need to, I want what they have. So if I want what they have, I need to do what they're doing. And so I'd say, well, what are you, well, you're doing group business. Well, that sounds good. Oh, you're building a team. Oh, that's interesting. That's that whole recruiting thing. So then I said, well, okay, this makes sense to talk to a whole bunch of people instead of just one. Right? And it makes sense. And then I like the idea of, wow, so I could share the opportunity with somebody, they could get involved, and I could override it. And I thought, that's interesting. And so I started to just share, because at first I was like, oh, I don't want anything to do with that recruiting thing. It just sounded strange. And I talked to a lot of people who say, no, I don't want anything to do with that recruiting thing. And I say, what do you mean you don't want anything to do with that recruiting thing? You're here. Every one of you had something to do with that recruiting thing. Okay? Or I don't want anything to do with that group thing. Crazy. What if the gentleman that was just here telling us he's got how many employees? 200 employees, and wants to offer it to his employee base after being here this morning? Hello. Right? I mean, I don't do that group thing. You know, would you want to say that to him? Somebody says, I want to be in the business and go write a bunch of sales. No, I don't do that recruiting thing. I know people that have actually sent people away like that. No, I don't do that side of the business. Like, that side of the business. That side of the business, that's the money-making side of the business. You don't do the money. Okay, yeah, you don't do the money-making side of the business then. All right, because it's all the money-making side of the business. So when someone says, I don't do that part of the business, I say, well, what part is that? The money-making part? Okay, and that's why being a full, right? So I started realizing, like, okay, this makes sense. And then I realized, too, well, someone recruited me. Someone recruited you. So we are totally into that recruiting thing, because thank goodness somebody else was into it, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. I'm very thankful to the person who shared the information with me. Because I don't know what I would be doing. I don't even want to think about it, because, I mean, I can't imagine. I probably would have to go back to school and try to figure that out. I don't even want to think about that, because I can't imagine doing anything different than what I'm doing with Legal Shield, okay? And so I'm thankful someone recruited me. So be thankful that someone recruited you. And then take a whole different look at recruiting and look at it as you're doing someone a disservice if you don't share our membership. You're doing someone a disservice if you don't let them know the business opportunities available. Because you don't know what their situation is. What if they are you where you were at? So I look at everybody thinking, when I talk to them, thinking, I don't know where they're at. Maybe they are a CEO making good money, but they hate what they're doing and they had a heart attack already over it. And they want something different. We have engineers and CEOs in our business, and I've talked personally to them, and they all say the same thing. Brenda, I am having a ball doing this. No stress. I'm making money. I love it. I'm having fun. I'm helping people. Yet they were CEOs of big companies or high-up VPs or engineers, okay? So understand that recruiting side is a huge side as well. So I started, what happened is I actually went to my first convention. I met some people that were doing both. And I thought, okay, there's something to this recruiting thing. There's something to this group thing. So I'm going to start sharing the information with people about our business, because why wouldn't other people maybe want to do this like I'm doing it? Made sense. And then I liked the idea of the whole group thing. So I went to my first group school, and I thought, okay, well, I don't really know a whole lot of companies. I mean, I have a dry cleaners. I take my dry cleaning, too. And I have, so I just started with some of my warm market there. Fell on my face a lot. Did some cold market. Okay. Didn't have a lot of warm market at the time, or I thought I didn't, until I learned how to create warm market. And we talked about that yesterday. And so I started, getting involved in the group side of things, in the group business. Just a little tiny bit on the recruiting, but I was kind of like, wow, I like this group thing. I like writing a bunch of memberships. That's kind of cool. Driving off from a place with a stack of them in your front seat, and it's like, wow, that's kind of cool. I like that. That makes for a good day. Like, I could get a little used to this. Okay? If you write your first group, you'll understand what I mean. It's addicting. And I thought, wow, helping all these families, and I can make a great income. And I qualified executive director in my 22nd month. So it took me 22 months to do it. A lot of people in this room done it a lot quicker. Okay, it took me 5 years to earn my first six figures. Heck, there's a lot of people did it quicker. That's okay. Everybody's on a different pathway. Okay, I'm just glad I kept going. I'm at where I'm at. So just remember, don't ever compare yourself. Everybody's different. It's not a race. It's a marathon. Okay, everybody's got different stuff they bring to the table. Everybody's got different backgrounds. And so just want to put that out there right now that, whatever your timetable you're on, the key is just as long as you're moving forward. So I started doing the group business, and I qualified in my 22nd month, and ED qualified on personal volume. That was fun. That was exciting. The money was great. I'm like, ooh, this is really cool. This is like way more than $2,000 a month. I'm liking this. And it was 75 sales then. So it was 75 sales a month. And then I did that another month. And then I think I missed it a month or two here or there. You know, we've all been there. We maybe missed that executive director qualification. That happens when you're, because, you know, maybe you have a group that changes schedule or whatever. And I can remember thinking, okay, this is fun and this is good money, but what if I had other people that were out doing the same thing? Wow, what could happen then when I started to understand the overrides? So then I kind of shifted gears and slowed down a little bit as far as the group stuff to start talking to some people, do some more recruiting. And was lucky enough to find a few associates. One of them found George. Very thankful for that, obviously. And George started to build a team here in Utah, you know, introducing people to the business that I didn't even know, other people out of state in Arizona. All of a sudden, I'm getting overrides. I don't know where they're coming from, you know, and they're just, you know, which is a cool thing. I'm like, well, this is pretty neat, this override thing. I've only written 5 plans this month, but look how many are written in my organization. And so what happened is, instead of my income being 100% my own, it started to do this. And I thought, well, this is good, right? Because I realized, what if I can't work 1 month, or what if I'm not feeling good, or I've got things I got to take care of with family or whatever, then where's it going to come from? So that recruiting and that leverage mindset started to really take hold. And as I saw those overrides coming in, I started realizing, okay, this is really cool. You know, I love this personal volume, love doing group. I want to keep doing that. Okay. And obviously as a GVP, I need to keep doing that. And I've been a trainer since 2000. So, you know, there's quotas and things that we have, but I just love that too. I just love that. And I can remember going through periods of time thinking, I wonder if I can do both. And I'm going to talk more about that. So essentially, my income went from 100% of mine to this, and then it would level out, and then it would kind of do this. Maybe month after month, it was all of mine, and then it was some override when I looked at the overall income I had for the month. Now it's in a much different, okay, teeter-totter, so to speak. And so my override, obviously, you can, the numbers speak that. I've written 5,000 personal in my career. Not quite, I just write out 5,000. But 50,000, over 50,000 in my organization. So what's 5,000 of 50,000? Okay. So 10%, right? And so when you look at that, you go, okay, that's exactly, and it's funny because that's where I wanted to be. When I was the other way, I was like, someday, I was going to keep doing this because someday I'd like it to be the other way, okay? And again, I kept working the business to create that kind of a situation. But then again, it's not all about my efforts. I've only personally recruited not that many. Okay, I wish I had the number right in front of me, but it's not that many. It's actually probably a pathetic number as far as low. But it's good to share that with you because you understand then. I mean, it's less than 50, I can tell you that. Oh, yeah, and there's almost 6,000 associates on our team. Almost 6,000, 5,000-something associates on our team. And I promise you, I recruited less than 50. Okay? And so, yeah, right? Right. So a lot of my efforts are helping my new recruits get recruits. Okay, so when I say I'm working on recruiting and focusing on recruiting, it may not even always be personal recruits, because if I've got a new recruit that recruits somebody who recruits somebody, I have a whole bunch of newbies I got to treat like my own, right? And so I'm working with them. But it's also increasing the personal recruits as well. And especially moving forward now where we're at, I'm even wanting to do even more of that, okay? And so needless to say, that's kind of what's happened with my business. To kind of just give you the background, everybody always likes to know, okay, how did you start? Were you doing individual sales or group right away? And that's kind of how it was. It went from individual sales, which I, of course, still do, to bringing in the group side, which I spent focus on, but then got into the recruiting, and now I just balance all of them. And so it is possible, because I'm living proof, it is possible, okay, to do all facets of the business, because I am a Legal Shield associate. So every part of that wheel, last time I looked, a CDL plan, a small business plan, a family plan, a specialty plan, all of that generates income, okay? And so Larry Smith was always a believer in doing all areas of that, leading with the membership, letting the membership be the most important thing in our business, and leading with that membership, because quite frankly, even if somebody's interested in the business, if they aren't seeing the value of the membership, there's no point in me recruiting them, right? So have you ever had somebody say, well, I might want to sell this, but I want to own it? Okay, right? So that's not going to work. So first of all, I'd encourage you, as I try to help you understand, build a business, and there's so many different ways, I say ways, I mean, you can do this through warm market, cold market, and I'm going to talk about some different ways in doing that, and we talked a lot with the group and all of that. But I want to just talk about some basic systems, too, so that whatever direction you want to go, because someone may say, well, Brenda, I just want to do recruiting. Well, you know, that's where my real passion is, and my passion really is group. That's fine. But don't sell yourself short, because if you don't get all the certifications, you don't have all the tools in your toolbox. I mean, it'd be like you're going to a job site if you're a construction guy, and you're going to the job site with a toolbox with a hammer. That's it. Now, you can do a lot with a hammer. Okay, but don't you think there's some other things you might want in that toolbox to really be able to maximize your work efforts, right? And be able to do the job completely and well. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you could kind of get most of them done with the other. But what if you were real good using that hammer, but you had the other tools in the box so they were there if you need them, and you had a pretty good idea how to use them? Would that be a good thing?
Yeah.
Okay? Nothing wrong with getting really good with the wrench or really good with the hammer, knowing that that'll take you a long way too. But you want to have the other tools there in your toolbox just in case. Just in case. All right? So get all the certifications. Get all those under your belt. Because about the time that you don't, and I get the calls all the time, it just cracks me up. I'll get the calls and Brenda, what do I do? I was just talking to somebody on the airplane, and they have this company, and they have like 20 drivers, and they're all CDL, and he asked me if we had a plan for his truckers. And I go, well, we do. And they go, yeah, I know, but I'm not certified. Ow. Well, you can't write it then. Right? Or what if that small business owner is asking you what you have for his business? So get all the certifications, okay? Get your basic training so you have your basic legal shield education, right? Get the small business certification so you have that certification. And you'll know at some point if that's an area you really want to get excited and focus on. Okay, that may be somewhere you just really want to zero in on, like George has. He's very good at it. Okay, take your group training if you haven't. You know, and take these trainings more than once. Get that group certification. Get the CDL certification, so you've got it. So if you go into a company, you can write the drivers on the CDL plan. So that if your neighbor is a trucker, because you can't even write an individual CDL unless you're certified. So get all those certifications so you can be that full service associate, and then figure out maybe where you want your niche to be. So, you know, provide the client. It's about providing the client with what they want. I mean, I have people ask me all the time, so Brenda, like, when you talk to somebody, like, what do you tell them about? I'm like, I tell them about what they tell me they want to hear about. Okay? You know, we talked to this gentleman this morning. Just from the conversation I got from him, I couldn't start talking. If I would have started blurting out about recruiting him, and yeah, you want to come on board with us and market Legal Shield? That's not the direction he went. His light bulb came on about the group plan. I think we got his light bulb turned on about the small biz plan, too. We turned that light bulb on. But you see what I'm saying? I couldn't, if I would have just started talking, that's why we have to listen first. Because it's about providing the client with what they want and need. So people say, well, what do you sell, Brenda, the $26 or the $17 plan? Do you sell the premium or the regular? I sell what they want to buy. What do they want to buy? Right? I mean, when I'm purchasing something, I want to buy what I want to buy, not what the person wants to sell me. Right? Okay? If I go in for just shoes, and I'm not looking for a business suit at the time, I just want the shoes. I mean, I want to buy what I want to buy. They can show me the other stuff, but if they start pushing, I might just look at them and go, I'm leaving. I didn't come in here for a suit. I came in here for shoes. Right? So we can share the other information with people. Okay, he knows there's a business opportunity available, but let the client decide what they want. You will have a much happier client and a much better business and better retention if you don't load somebody up. I mean, good salespeople can just load somebody up. I mean, I could probably, you know, once you get good in this business, you probably sell, you know, when people say, oh, I could sell ice to an Eskimo. Those people that say that scare me because it means that you're probably going to be selling people stuff that they can't afford or don't want or don't need. I mean, if a small business owner doesn't need the small business plan but qualifies for the legal plan for self-employed, that's what you want to sell them. Sell the customer what they need. Find your niche. I mean, you'll have, in this business, you kind of have a minor and you have a major. So mine fluctuates. Right now I'm trying to have two majors because I really like recruiting and group to both be my majors. But for the longest time, as a GVP too, and being very involved in group, it has been my major, and recruiting has been, and team building has been my minor. But even so, my organization has continued to grow. Does that make sense? And so it continued to, in spite of me, because I have people like George and Daniel and, you know, Clyde and Lucy and just all the great leaders on our team. So it has continued to grow, and that'll wake you up to, okay, now hold on a second. Okay? So in months where my income is up here and my sales, maybe I had a real low month personal sales, that's when it'll really drive home that override. Okay, when you really start to understand that override situation and the power of leverage, and at the same time, you've got people that are earning a good living and taking care of their family, okay? But maybe you want to try to have two, a major and a minor, okay? Maybe you want to try to have two majors, maybe you want to do group and small biz, okay? And then maybe you'll recruit here and there. If you're full-time in our business, how many are full-time in Legal Shield? Do you have any full-time in Legal Shield? Okay, you know, absolutely, you've got the hours and the time, which sometimes can be dangerous, because I see part-time people that have full-time jobs that get more than our full-time Legal Shield associates do, get done. Okay, and we're going to talk about that too. I mean, you're right? Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. I mean, Bobby Garcia is one of our executive directors in Tucson. And yeah, Daniel Rona, look at what he does. I mean, Bobby Garcia, I used to tell him, I got to step it up. You're making me feel like a slacker. Because he was a full-time Tucson police officer. He was a wrestling official, a dad, and he was hitting gold executive director and writing all kinds of business, recruiting and doing group. And I was like, wow, okay? So, you know, it can be done, but it's what you do with your time, and we're going to talk about that as well. But find your niche. Where do you find that you're most passionate about? If it's about small business, do that. If it's about group, do that. But don't allow yourself to get so locked in on one of those areas that you miss the boat on the rest. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, don't let potential associates just go right by you because you've got that group hat on. Or don't let a small business sale go, you know, aside from you because you've got, you know, the recruiting hat on. Okay, that's a huge mistake, because what you're letting happen is, first of all, you're doing a disservice to that person, but you're just letting money just go right by. Okay? So it's about finding out what they want, finding out what your niche is, and what this means to your business, obviously, is that if you're that full service associate, you're able to write that business when someone asks. I mean, even if you're not doing group, I guarantee you, we had Roy Tatum. I mean, his major is recruiting and team building. But he wrote his first group, and he was so excited. He called me about it. He goes, Brenda, you won't believe it. I wrote my first group. And he was really excited. He goes, you know what? I'm so glad that I'm a full-service associate and had that certification, because even though I don't have the experience that you have, and he used some help with somebody, because even though he's an experienced associate, he wasn't experienced in group, so he used some help from somebody on his team who does do a lot of group, okay? And so he was smart enough to do that, even though he knew he'd been in the business for a long, long time. He's a ring earner, all that kind of stuff. He knew that he doesn't do group, but he had the certification. And he was just savvy enough to know just enough about it to know when he had that opportunity for a group in his hand, and then was smart enough to know from being groups to group school that he should call for some help to write it. And believe me, he had fun doing it, and he didn't mind at all. Now, he's not going to turn around and focus on group now. Okay, but he said that was pretty exciting. He thought that was pretty cool to get that experience, write those apps, and earn that income. But what if he was closed off to that? That group would, that money would have just went by. Okay, now is he a good example for somebody on his team? Because they're looking at him going, wow, he recruits a lot. Oh, but he wrote a group. Okay, wow, right? So he's a good example on his team, and now he can identify people who are potential recruits for that arena or the small business arena. See, so being that full-service associate allows you to do all of that. You identify people. If you know nothing about group, how would you even know if you ran across somebody that potentially could be a good group person, potentially a good small business person? If you're not discussing that wheel of opportunity with them, but you're not going to discuss it if you aren't the wheel too. Does that make sense? And this is just a huge thing, and I'm so glad that the company has adopted this one band, one sound philosophy, because it will make a huge difference, trust me, in your business and in your success and in what is going into your bank account, and it'll make a big difference with how your business grows, okay? I've got groups that I've had for years, and I have recruits on my team that I've had for years that said to me, Brenda, and they're part of my team now, that said, you know what, I knew about Legal Shield for years and years, but every time I'd been approached, no one ever told me there was a group arena. No one ever told me that I didn't have to go just sell to my friends and family. I could actually market to my clients and to groups, you know, or to do small biz, okay? And I said, you know, well, shame on that associate for not letting you know that we have all facets. And that's why that's in our presentation now, if you notice that, so that we make sure that everybody that comes to a briefing, and if you're meeting with somebody one-on-one, you're using a flip chart or tool, we want to make sure that no matter what, they're seeing that wheel of opportunity, regardless of where your focus is. Let them fall into the wheel where they want to fall, and you can earn the overrides on it. Because I tell you what, those overrides are fun, all right? Imagine overriding 50,000 plans, right? Okay? 4,500, because five of them were mine, so 4,500. 45,000, okay? And residual renewal income on those 45,000 as well, okay? Again, not bragging at all. I don't even share usually a whole lot about my income. I told some of you about a story about my income last month just so I could drive home the point of override, because that was clearly evident with the power of overrides when you see that. But you need to know that, because you need to know if you're sitting there trying to figure out if you can replace your income or replace your job, or, you know, buy that house that you want, you have to know that there's really money that can be made here. Okay. And so that's why we share that stuff with you. Okay. On that note, this is a perfect place to talk about this, and somebody back there mentioned it to me right after the briefing. He'll know who he is. I can see him right there. The number one priority in our business is who? Raise your hand back there, because you're the one that brought this up. Go like that. You're the one. What'd you say to me? Customer service, Brenda. We need to always make sure that we're talking about service and the customer being number one, because nothing happens without that customer, okay? And everything happens with that customer. And when that customer keeps their plan, everything happens. So the customer and the service to that customer has to be number one. So we have to do our job as a marketing associate. The law firm has to do their job in delivering the service. The company has to do their job behind the scenes that they do. But the number one focus and the biggest winner always has to be our customer, right? Or they won't keep the plan and residuals won't get paid, okay? And we want member retention to be one of the most important things. So customer service is a huge thing. So we want to make sure we're giving good customer service to our members, you know, and to our associates, okay, and doing our part of the job, and let the law firm and the corporate office do their job as well, okay? And so we want to engage with them naturally. And this is the 21st century selling kind of techniques and thought process, is that we let them buy what they want to buy. But not only do we let them buy what they want to buy, but we let them buy when they want to buy. Okay? Does that make sense? And so the philosophy behind the 21st century selling is just that. And you say, well, gosh, why is that so different than what people have been doing? Well, some of us who have been around for a long time have been trained. I'm already hearing laughter. Okay? Have been trained in a little bit different way. That this is the plan that you're going to sell. Only sell the $35.95 plan. Only sell the premium plan. Don't even tell them there's a standard plan. Don't tell them they can buy the plan separately. Tell them it's a package deal. That's the only way they can get it. And what was the reason? Well, because then your commissions will be higher. Oh, that's just great. So now you just sold somebody something that's maybe more than what they need or can afford, and now they end up canceling. Then what happens? And if they're associate, well, that's even worse, because now not only do you have an unhappy customer, now you've got an unhappy associate, right? So not a good thing. So what we want to do is let them buy when they want to buy. Because what was happening, too, is we were going out and we were doing sit-downs. We were sitting down with people. We were doing that presentation. And we were wanting them to buy right then. I know. I used to do the kitchen table presentations. And I would get to the end and, you know, and obviously we want to write them up, okay? It's, you know, it's right then on the spot. So think about that. We've set an appointment with them. We want them to buy on our schedule and our time right then. Maybe they're not ready to buy right then. So then we take it personally, we get offended, we get a little irritated. If they sense that, they're never going to be a customer with us, right? So what we do is so maybe we're nice about it, okay, fine, you want to wait, and then we leave. Then we're calling them, like, over and over and over, and now we're, like, hounding them. We're, like, stalking them, okay? Trying to get that sale, like, we need that to be able to eat breakfast tomorrow and feed our children, okay? And so the philosophy that Larry Smith raised us in the business with is the philosophy of using the approach presentation to close, number one, asking the questions, okay? But the philosophy was simply let them buy, okay, when they're ready. Let them buy. Do consistent follow-up, but professional follow-up, without hounding them, without stalking them. Right? And so this new philosophy with the 21st century selling, I think, will change everything, because we went from being the message and the messenger. Like, we were the messenger bringing the message, going through the information, doing that presentation with the people, going over that brochure. You can, now, there's nothing so wrong with doing a presentation, but let me just tell you what's different about that. Because when you do that presentation with somebody, now you're delivering that information to them. Now you want them to buy it right now. So now you feel like you're hounding them on a regular basis to get the sale made, okay? And they're feeling like a push, right? They're going to push back. They're going to push back. When you engage naturally with them, so here's the little reverse of it. Instead of you being the message and the messenger, okay, and then hounding them with follow-up, hounding them to buy the plan, why not let them dictate all that? Why not build a relationship and pique their interest? Is it raining?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Why not cool it off a little, right? Why not build that relationship first? Okay? Because so many times we were just setting that appointment, sitting down with somebody, there's no relationship built, we're doing the presentation, and then we're trying to build a relationship in the process of hounding them, trying to close them to get them to buy the plan. Okay? And what the other philosophy that Larry Smith always inbred in us kind of was, you know, I just lost my train of thought. There it went. I'm thinking about the rain. I'll think of it in just a second, okay? But build a relationship, pique their interest, then send them the link or the tool, okay? This is the thought. I told you to come back. This happens when you're 46. When someone thinks you need the plan, you need to sell the plan to them more than they need to buy the plan, you're done. Let me say that again. As soon as someone gets the feeling that you need to sell them a plan more than they need to own the plan, you're done. And that was one of the most valuable things that he taught me, because I said to myself, oh my gosh, that's what I'm doing. I'm desperate because I have to pay the rent. Okay, and he said, you got to put that out of your mind. And you just got to concentrate on helping that person, giving them the information that they need, letting them buy, and not sending that message to them that you're desperate for their sale, and let them buy it. Because the more, how many realize the more you do that, the better it works. The more laid back usually you are, okay? We do the same thing with people calling us the same way, right? I mean, don't you feel like when somebody like, okay, really, is this really a good thing? Or are you just puffing it up real big because you are like need to, you know, pay your water bill or something? So we got to make sure that we're not conveying that message to somebody that we need their sale more than. And it's hard to do sometimes when you are trying to pay the bills, okay? When that's really where you're at, or when you actually are trying to fast start qualify, or you are trying to hit ED, or you're trying to hit some sort of level, it is real easy to get in desperate mode, isn't it? Desperate mode, and you're almost begging people to sign up. I've actually heard people say to their prospect, "Oh, please, just for me, do me a favor and sign up." I'm like, oh, wow, you know what, if you get that sale, that's just pure luck, but I guarantee it won't stay on the books for more than 30 days, and now you're going to have a charge, or what we call advance recovery, okay, you know, no commission is going to be paid to you, and then what's going to happen is you're going to have an unhappy member who is now going to talk about how unhappy they were because they felt pushed into something that they didn't want to have, all right, and so we don't want to do that, okay, so use the tools, move patiently through the process. So when you're talking with somebody, so this is a whole different philosophy, is to flip it up a little bit and to build a relationship first. Not immediately do that presentation right now on the spot, and now I want you to buy right now, and then try to build a relationship later, which only looks like you're doing it for the sake of needing the sale. So the thought process behind the 21st century selling is, let's sell like people want to buy. And how do people want to buy? When they're ready, right? And so don't be the message, just be the messenger. Be the consultant. Be the one that's going to find out what their needs are. Build the rapport. Let me find out more about Ryan first. Let me find out about Ryan. What about him? Does he have a family? Does he live here? Does he own a business? Does he own homes? You know, let me build a relationship. Let me build a rapport with him. Because if I've taken a genuine interest in him and what he does for a living and his family, I can find that. What's that sending? The message it's sending to him. Number one, I'm building a rapport. Number two, the message that it's sending to him is that I care about where he's at. I don't just care about what I'm selling because I haven't even told him yet. I mean, I'm just finding out about him. Okay, have you ever had somebody that, an associate, or have you yourself, would you be honest enough to admit that you yourself have ever walked up to somebody, you just met him, you only knew him for 5 seconds, and you said, you would be great in this business. Have we done it? Come on, let's play honest here. Okay? And then you think to yourself, if I was that person, I would be looking at me going, well, how do you know? You just knew me 5 seconds. How would you know I'd be good in this business? Or how do you know what would be right for me, right? So we can't start suggesting solutions. See, we're problem solvers. So our job is to find out what is somebody's need, what does the customer need, where do they fit into our wheel of opportunity, how can we fill that need? The only way that I can find out how I can help Ryan is to find out what Ryan's needs are. So if I can show him I first care about him and finding out about him, we're building a relationship. Now he's feeling like he knows me. He's feeling like he trusts me. Okay, we're building a rapport. We're building a relationship. And then I can turn around and pique his interest. Right? I can pique his interest by throwing something out about, you know, what we do. Or when he tells me, you know, that, you know, he has a small... I'm talking to this gentleman this morning about the small business plan only because, you know, he says, oh, we've got like 3 attorneys, corporate attorneys. I said, oh, absolutely. And I was just sharing with him that we have I have companies I work with in Arizona, large companies. They have, you know, under 100, but they have people, they have the attorneys that they have on retainer as well. But what they found is that they can use our small business plan, you know, for some of the ancillary things that they don't want to pay $200 to $300 an hour for their business attorney. See, because I was listening to what he said was he's got 3 attorneys they've had since the start of the business. Okay, so what if I said, well, yeah, but why do you want to pay him $200 to $300? Get rid of them. You can save money, $75 a month. What do you think he would have done? He'd have been really turned off, right? So we have to really get good at people skills. I mean, this business really is about getting a master's degree in people skills. And the better that you can listen, the better that you can be a consultant, the more that you can learn from somebody, the better relationship building skills that you can pick up, read about, learn about in the trainings, the better you can get at that, the better you will do in this business. Okay? The better you will do. How many of you know people in this business that need serious people skills, right? Okay? How many of you are, you know, sitting next to them? How many of you, to be honest enough, to say it's you? Right? Hey, we have to take responsibility for our business. That's why you got to look in the mirror and you got to say, where do I need work? Where do I need help? Okay? What do I need to work on? So that I can get better relating to people, because the better you can relate with people, the better rapport you can build, the more people will listen and they'll like you, and then marketing a plan to them will be easy. Don't you all buy stuff from people you know, like, and trust? A lot quicker than somebody that just seems like they think they know you and they're just out to make a buck. Okay? And listen, you all live in a network marketing state, by the way, in case you didn't know that. I mean, this is a serious network marketing state. Yeah. Right? So people have been hit in this state a lot with the typical network marketing approach. The typical, I got this thing, you got to get in, it's the hottest thing, ground floor opportunity, we're going to make a boatload of money, and you know the guy that started it, anyway, everyone's been hit with that kind of a thing. Okay? We are probably the one network marketing company out there that looks most not like a network marketing company, the one that doesn't belong with the others. Okay? And we want to continue to be that. So if we know we are that, then we as associates need to act like that. So we have to differentiate ourselves, don't we? How many of you recruited somebody and in the process they told you, wow, I never was approached like that. I never got in this business. I've been approached numerous times. I never got in because no one ever told me that, or they approached me this way or that way, or they were pushy, or, you know, right? Or how many of you have called on businesses or individuals and they're totally turned off? Not about our company. It's not like they said, oh, LegalShield's no good, and the plan's no good, and the plan has no value. What do they say? They're turned off by the person who brought them the information. The messenger turned them off, right? So we need to be really good, A-class, top-notch messengers in the business so that people will open up to hearing what we're all about, because it's unfortunate. I met people that said I would have got this a long time ago. Brenda had you approach me, or the right person approach me sooner. And I think, how unfortunate. This person went all these years without the plan, or without being an associate, okay, or without getting the business plan, only because they were approached wrong and the messenger was not a good messenger. Okay? So we want to differentiate ourselves in this marketplace. Be the shiners. Be the one that goes, oh, those LegalShield associates, they are class act. They are class act. When you're in a place like this, clean up before you leave. Or when you go, you know what I'm saying? If you're walking around with your LegalShield shirts on, you know, you've got to behave yourself, right? If you've got LegalShield on your back window, do not cut people off and flip them off, right? That's not a good idea. If you have a tendency to do that, If you have a tendency to do that, then guess what? Don't put Legal Shield on your car. Okay? If you're grumpy most of the time, don't wear a Legal Shield pin then. Because you're representing this company. And we are a nationwide leader in the industry, owned by MidOcean Partners. Got incredible people behind us and incredible leaders in our company. And we need to be the class act that we are. We need, every one of us needs, but we are Legal Shield to somebody down the street that's never heard. Okay? And if we don't represent it right, guess what happens? Then they won't ever get the chance to know how great MidOcean is and Legal Shield is and our plan is, because the person, the messenger, didn't do a good job. Okay? So make sure that you are representing well. Be the difference in the marketplace. Be the trendsetter here and start a whole new way of approaching people in a much more professional. Be conscious of it all the time so that you can set yourself apart. Because that's what, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because we were talking about it last night, and I've had people even say that, wow, you know, we're in a network marketing state. You know, Utah's a network marketing state. There's a couple other states like that, too. And Brenda, people have been hit so hard. Well, they've been hit so hard by the wrong company, by the wrong person. You've got the right company. Now you be the right person because that's all they need. That person may be looking for an opportunity, so you be the right person approaching them with the right opportunity, and you'll be able to grow your team in an incredible way. And this allows us to do this. The tools allow us to do it. The tools allow us to move patiently at their pace, okay? And follow up like an Apple salesperson. Follow up like an Apple salesperson. How many have Apple? iPhone, Mac, right? I mean, have you ever been to their store? So you know what I'm talking about. Are they just class act? I mean, they have been trained to, I mean, they are on it. You talk about polished in customer service. I'd like to have all of them as recruits on our team. Right? I mean, they're awesome, okay? And so we would be just like them in the follow-up. So the key is you build that rapport, you meet that person, you pique that interest. How do you do that? Well, within that conversation with Ryan, he may tell me something. He may tell me he has a family. He may tell he owns a business. Okay, whatever direction, you know, I've got to listen. And if I'm a full service associate, I'll know where he falls in there. And so I can simply say, oh, we work with companies just like yours. Or, you know, my company that I work with, you know, we help small businesses like yours. Or if he proceeds to tell me he's working a job, traveling, he's really sick of doing it, you know, and he's tired of it. And I may ask him if he's looking for something else. You know, are you actually looking, actively looking for something else? And he said yes. Well, guess what? Then what's he a potential for? A recruit. So now I'm not going to just start slamming information on him and just telling him everything I ever learned about Legal Shield. Especially, what if I'm brand new? Okay? If you're brand new, you don't know everything there is to know anyway, right? More than the prospect knows, okay? But usually what happens when you're new, too, is you know you don't know everything. So you don't have the confidence a lot of times to even approach somebody in the first place because you feel like, well, I might say the wrong thing, or I'm not ready to be able to sit down and do a presentation. So you keep coming to training after training after training until you figure you've got to know everything before you can talk to somebody. Fix that out of that, okay? Because that's basically what this approach does. What it means to you is, it means that you as a new person or even a seasoned person or recruiting a new person can show them how anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. And then we don't have to worry about the prospect necessarily hearing the information improperly or wrong from somebody brand new or who doesn't say it properly, because guess what? The website links don't mess up. They say it the same way every single... Bob takes 9 minutes to explain the compensation plan every time. Like this morning, I wish he'd hurry up, but he didn't. It was 9 minutes every time because he says the same thing every time. So what a great thing to be able to just build that rapport, build that trust, find out about Ryan, find out where he fits in the wheel, and then ask his permission. Not, hey, I'm going to send you something. And then you're like, have you ever had somebody do that? And you're like, all right, I don't really want it, but okay, give me a card. Sure. They say yes just to get rid of you, which is why when you follow up, they never call you back. Because they never wanted you to call them back in the first place. And they didn't look at your information because they never wanted to look at it in the first place. Because you never got to know them, even find out, you've never given them a reason to look at it. So if I've built the rapport and I've identified that need, and I say to him, hey, Ryan, you know what? I work with a lot of small business owners like yours, and they just found tremendous value in what we do. Or whether he's a recruit. You know what, Ryan? You know, our company is expanding, and we are growing rapidly, you know, not only in Utah, but all over the place. And I imagine you may know, you mentioned you know some people in several other states. And I don't know if it would be a fit for you or not. You know, but if you mentioned that you were, you know, you'd like to be able to have a little more freedom to spend time with your family and have the income to go along with it. Well, so many people, not I make a bunch of money in the company. I say so many people are doing incredibly well with our company. And it's, you know, and they've been around for 40 plus years. And I don't know if it's a fit for you or not, Ryan, But, you know, would you want to view the information? Would it be something you'd like to take a closer look at?
Sure.
I let Ryan tell me yes. Okay? I ask him, is it something you'd like to take a closer look at? Okay, now I can do that because I've done the rapport building, right? I've done all that. Now I say, great, you know what? I'm going to send you a website. Now I tell him exactly what I'm sending him. I'm going to send you a web link that talks about our, you know, how we market our legal plan. But I'm also going to send you a website so you can actually view the plan. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you my website, okay, which, by the way, if this was something that you decided you wanted to do, you would have one just like this that's included in part of being with our company. But first, let me just see if our services make sense to you. So I'd first like for you to look at the video about the services. Okay, so click on video number 4 and how it works. And then there's also a Selling Legal Shield area 2. So there's 2 links there. Okay, or I could send him the Darnell Self video, right? The / what is it? Worry Less, Live More? That's another really good one. LegalShield.com/worry-less-live-more. Any of you using those? Okay, worry less, live more. Are you using that? That's great. It's the briefing I did this morning, done by Darnell Self. Have you seen it?
I've seen it on a DVD, but I haven't seen it on.
How many of you have not seen that? Oh my gosh. Okay. www.legalshield.com/worry-less-live-more. Worry less, live more. And that's, like I said, that's Darnell Self, Mr. Self, doing a presentation, PowerPoint presentation, like the one you saw this morning. So that's typically what I'll send somebody if they're interested in the business opportunity, because it's membership and business op. See, I don't send a business op if they're not interested in the business op, if they haven't said anything that leads me to believe that, okay? But if they're interested in the business and they're a potential recruit, because we've talked about him looking for something else, then I want to make sure that he sees our membership first. If you just send him the money thing, then he may just think we're all about the money. Okay, and that's not the message we want to send. And if he's not a believer in the value of the service, then the money doesn't matter. So I'm going to send him that because that's what he's going to see first. I can control that. That's why I like that one a little better, because I don't want him going straight to the money. I want him to see the information about our company and our service first. So I'm going to send him that /worry-less-live-more link. And I'm going to let him know. I'm going to send it to him. I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and send that to you. Would you like me to send that right away? And I'll say, yes. I say, great. You know what? I'll be back in the office in a couple hours. And so I'll get that out to you today. Let me get your email. Now I've got his email. I give him my card. Okay. I write the website on the back. Here's my card. Here's my information, Ryan. Here's my, here's the website on the back. And, you know, it's a fairly short one. Okay. It's about, I think that was 25 minutes because he does a quick version of that. I think it's 25. Maybe the full 40. I'm trying to remember exactly. So, yeah, it is 40. It is 40. Okay. So I put that on the back. You know, I always tell them it's less than an hour, less than 45 minutes. If it's one that's 4.5 minutes, I try to remember which ones are how long, like the HR one's only 4 minutes. And if you forget, then go watch it yourself and write them down. I have them written down, just not right here in front of me. So I'm going to give them that website, and I'm going to tell them to go take a look at it. I'm going to say, here you go. Here's the website. I'm going to get his email. I'm going to follow up with him by email, or I could send it to a link. Okay. If he says, I'd like to look at it right now. Boom. Okay. The nice thing about asking for his email and sending it in an email, you can do it either or, is that now you've got the reason to email him. Okay. So you can do both. Okay. I may say, here, take a look at this website, but I'm also going to send you another piece as well. Tell him what you're, so you ask permission, tell him what you're sending him. Okay. And then ask him when he wants you to follow up. Because people say, well, now what do you do with the follow-up? When do you follow up with them? When they tell me to follow up. You see, because people feel weird about follow-up, and I've had people say, well, I feel like I'm hounding them. Well, you feel like you're hounding them because they haven't told you when, you haven't asked them when to follow up. Let them dictate the follow-up. That's what the Apple Sales people do, okay? That makes your job a lot easier, a lot less stressful, and for you new folks, this makes it so much easier. If we had this approach when I first started, oh my goodness. Because I used to be petrified to have to go out, make the presentation, do all of that. I had to be the deal. We don't have to be the deal here. But we have to, we can't just rely totally on electronic stuff either. We've got to build, it takes that person to person to build that rapport. So now I ask permission. Ryan, so let me do this. Let's assume I didn't give him the link on the back of the card because I prefer to email it. So let me go ahead and email you that information. How soon would you like me to do that? Okay. Okay. How about you would like me to send it this afternoon? I could probably get to it this afternoon if you want me to.
Okay.
Great. When do you think you'd have a chance to look at that?
Probably Saturday afternoon.
Okay. Got a busy schedule the next couple days. It'll be Saturday afternoon. I fully understand. The reason I asked is because I want to be able to follow up with you, because I'm sure you'll have some questions about that. And I'm sure you have some questions. And if you have an interest, you like what you see, I'd also maybe like to introduce you to one of my business partners so you could meet them as well. I'm sure they would want to meet you too. But first things first, let me get that link sent over to you this afternoon, as promised. And then I'll make a note to follow up with you. Saturday is morning, afternoon. What's your schedule best?
About
2 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, great. So I'll plan on following up with you then. It was a pleasure meeting you. You know, look forward to talking with you again, and take care and have a good flight or wherever I met him. Okay. So now it's been an easy thing, right? I didn't have to do the presentation. I didn't have to be the deal. I built the relationship. I found out things about him. I'm sending him over the link. I email it over that day. I'm going to follow up on Saturday. Do I feel weird about following up on Saturday?
No. Yes.
He asked me to. I don't feel pushy. In fact, I'm going to feel really weird if I don't. Because, I mean, right? It would be like, I got to call him. I told him I call him at 2, because if I don't, then he's going to think I'm a flake. So I need to call. Now, guess what? It's not invasive at all. Because when I call, okay, and if he answers and he hasn't looked at the information yet, that's okay. He's going to tell me that. But either way, he knows I've done my job to follow up with him. Hi, Ryan. This is Brenda. You and I met the other day on the airplane and got to know you. Really look forward to you. By the way, how's your daughter doing? You know, you mentioned that, you know, she had some things going on. And how was her game? You were telling me she had a game coming up. Whatever, right? Well, I wanted to just give you a call because you asked me to call you on Saturday around 2. Did you have a chance to look at that information? Oh, I understand. Not a problem. Not a problem. When would you like me to call you back?
I know I can get to it tomorrow, so I'll just call me on Monday.
Call you Monday? Great. Afternoon about the same time, about 2?
No, in the evening.
In the evening time? I don't want to call too early or too late or in your dinner time, so what's
five
a good... About 5 or 6? Okay. I think that'll work on my schedule as well, so I'll make a note of that. And you take care, have a good week, and I'll talk to you Monday evening around 5 or 6, between 5 and 6. Okay? Now I follow up again. He's asked me to. It's just professional follow-up. And that seems so subtle and so small, doesn't it, as far as no big major shift. But how many times have we said, what have I said to Ryan? Oh, you didn't watch that yet? Okay. Well, I'll call you tomorrow. Watch it. You know, watch it. Yeah, watch that. You know, I'll call you tomorrow. I'll call you on Monday. And the person's going, oh, okay. Well, great. I won't answer when you call. So ask their permission, right? I mean, it's something so subtle, but it mean all the difference in the world. And I was using an example yesterday how I'm trying to get a lower interest rate on this new FHA program on my condo. And the gal, you know, she sends me the information. I tell her that I've got travel stuff going on. I'm not going to be able to look at it, you know, but I'm really busy. But she said, well, I'll call and make sure you got it. She calls me to make sure I got it before I left. And I said, I got it. She said, well, can you look at that in the next hour or so? Because I'd like to get this done for you today. I go, well, I'm thinking, I bet you would. And I'm thinking, I can't do it today. I already told you that, right? And she's called me like twice since then. I'm getting ready to email her and go, I will call you when I'm ready. And so when this just happened, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is exactly what we're talking about here. We don't want to be that person, because what's happening is she's irritating me, right? She's irritating me and not being respectful of what I've told her. I told her I'm very much interested. I want to do this. It makes sense. It's going to save me money. It's a good thing. But I want my attorneys to review the paperwork. Right? I want them to review the paperwork. That's something I want to do. That's my prerogative. And I want to go ahead and lock in the rate when I decide that I want to lock it in. When I decide that I'm ready to move forward. This is how our prospects feel too. Okay? It's about what they want, what they need on their time. Michael, do you have a question on that?
Back maybe 3 or 4 times have come now. Obviously they can feel guilty enough to where they do it and it gets done, but at what point would you take it away? Because it can get to the point where it's a little monotonous and it becomes awkward, even though they said, well, you can call me back this time.
Oh, perfect. Great question. Okay, perfect. So Michael says he's calling, they've asked you, but you're going back and forth, and you just kind of keep following up and following up. There's nothing wrong with continued follow-up. We have people that got our membership that said, oh, that person had to call me 9 times before I finally bought it. Okay, but if you're starting to feel weird about that, honesty is always the best policy. So if I'm calling Ryan, and we're following up, I get Ryan on the phone, he still hasn't looked at it, I say, that's no problem, Ryan. I totally understand you're busy. I get that, and I want to just certainly follow up as planned. But am I driving you crazy? Like, I don't want to be bugging you. You know, I know you're busy, as am I. I always put value on my time. You know, I know you're busy, as am I. You want me to give you a little extra time, or you want me just, would you rather, I just, you know, a couple weeks maybe? And then usually what happens is, no. You know what? I'm going to take a look at that this afternoon. Okay? Again, you have to be really careful because I can't cross that line of making him feel like I need him to look at that more than he needs to look at it himself. Okay? And so I may sometimes even say, well, you know, maybe, you know, it's, have you found something else? You know, maybe you, did you change your mind about the business opportunity? Maybe this isn't even, you know, something that you want to look at right now. I mean, I'm just right there, right? I mean, maybe this, because if I don't want to push him in or beg him, because then he'll be difficult to work with. I want him going, woohoo, pick me, I want to do this, right? So I want to be professional about the approach, okay? And how you approach him is how he's going to approach his people. Does that make sense? Okay? So I'm just going to be real laid back, and I may say, you know what? I know you're real busy, as am I, and I don't want to keep, you know, I know we're doing this phone thing back and forth, and, you know, maybe you've changed your mind, maybe you've decided that, you know, this isn't something you even want to take a look at, and that's okay. Like, I tell him it's okay. And 9 times out of 10, what he does? No, Brenda, no, I'm glad you're calling. I appreciate the follow-up. I'm going to take a look at this afternoon, and I might even be so bold as to say, you know what? Perfect. Then I'll have like this. You call me once you've taken a look at it. That way I'm not having to pester you. See, it's a posture. It's posture. If he's going to look at it, he's going to look at it. If he likes what he sees, he's going to call me. I'm not worried about that because he already knows I'm doing proper follow-up. Does that make sense? Because I don't want to just keep calling. But if he's answering, that's a good thing. Same with if you're getting somebody's voicemail. If I get his voicemail, he gets voicemail again. I was telling everybody last night, third time, I just simply say, this is Brenda. Hey, Ryan, you know, I met in the airplane, and I left you a couple messages. Hopefully you got them. Hopefully everything's okay with your family and job and stuff. I'm sure you're really busy. I don't want to pester you, and so I just want to make sure that you have my information. I've got your email. See, this is why you've got email, too, so you can quit. You don't have to call, okay? And so I might say, you know what? I've got your email. I'll just keep touch with you that way from time to time, and just let me know when you're ready to move forward. With this, or if you'd like to move forward, if you've watched the video, and I take the pressure off. We do not want to hound people. Take the pressure off. Sometimes you just got to walk away from that. When you do that, it puts you in a whole different position as far as posture-wise, because the message you send to him is, she's busy, he's busy, he's professional, you know, he doesn't need my sale, obviously there's something good here, and it's all about posture, okay? But the only way you get that is by doing more of it, okay? More of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay? Are you guys still with me?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, I know it's toasty because I'm from Arizona and I love it when it's 100 and I'm warm. So if I'm warm, you have to be warm. Are y'all hot?
Yeah.
Okay. I can give you some philosophy stuff too, but I'm, as you can tell, as a GVP and trainer, we tend to be trainer mode. I'm all about trainer and role play and, you know, how to approach and all that. You get a lot of, I'm sure, philosophies in this, but you hear a lot of speakers talk about different philosophies, which is very important too. But I decided to go down a little bit different road here just because I know that they're going to be coming in here soon with this 21st century stuff. So, because when they come in here and then you all are sitting there and you get it like this because you already got it basically, right? You got the head start. Okay, then they'll roll it out here, and Alan Fernley will be like, whoa, Utah grabbed onto this and ran with it, all right? I mean, you already were in the top for recruiting, so that's good stuff. But again, 21st century selling, not any big major change, just a little bit, just enough, just a little tweak, but those little tweaks make a huge difference, okay? Just like all the little things that you all do on a daily basis or don't do on a daily basis matter big. All those things matter. All those that you saw that 212 degrees. I mean, the difference between, you know, someone who's not successful, someone who is successful is just a few degrees, right? It's just a little bit. And I've seen people leave this business when I know they're about ready to turn the corner. And I don't want you to do that. Because I can tell you, I went through some challenges the first couple years of my business. The first 2 years in this business is the hardest. Okay? It's almost like, I always look at it like this, like Legal Shield is such an incredible opportunity that, like, we just have to pay our dues first. You know what I mean? It's like you got to pay your dues to reap the bennies. And it's kind of that way with anything. But it's kind of like the test. Like, you got to get through the test. Can you get through the first 2 years? And I remember Larry Smith telling me, you have to, you know, Brenda, you've got to give it 2 years. Because I went through some times where I'm like, I don't know about this. I don't know if this is for me. Because there's seasons in this business, too. Okay? There's seasons in this business. Okay? Look at someone like Deanne, who I found this out yesterday. What an inspiration. Okay, how many months PC qualified straight originally?
96.
Okay, but how many the first time?
96.
Before you fell out?
96.
Oh, it was 90? I thought it was 69.
Oh, 69.
Okay,
oh.
So She flip-flopped it. So 69 months consecutive PC qualified, and then life got in the way and fell out. What do you think at that point she could have easily done? Right? Got mad, quit, blamed it on somebody else or whatever, but she didn't. She accepted full responsibility for falling out of PC. So not only did she accept full responsibility, but she did what she needed to do to turn around and say, you know what, I'm not going to let this stop me, because her why was big enough, and we're going to talk about that, and kept going. And now how many months consecutive? 22 months consecutive. How cool is that? All right? So we have to hear these stories too. You can't just always hear all the good stuff. You got to hear some of the other stuff. You got to hear that. You can hear about the month in the business where I had a couple of groups that had actually canceled, and so I had advanced recovery, which was the same as a chargeback. Okay, call it what it is. All right, this is reality. You got to understand this, because these are the defining moments in this business. And I literally had no income. I was in the hole. So everything I wrote for that month, and I had just gotten my townhouse, and I actually had to borrow $1,000. From an ex-boyfriend, which is, that in itself is painful, okay? But when I did it, I said, I'm responsible, okay? It's not, it's legal, so it doesn't work. Oh, the attorney's messed up. Oh, it's, their fault, or the company's fault, or it's these people's fault because they're stupid and didn't keep the plan. I could have blamed everybody else and said, this doesn't work, and then left the business and went and got a job and worked for some idiot and be broke right now, right? That's what would happen, okay? But my why was strong enough in this business. We're going to get to that in a second here. But to keep going, all right, And I said, you know what? I'm accepting full responsibility. So often associates don't accept full responsibility for their business, okay, and for what they contribute to the market as well. And we're going to talk about that. But we have to be responsible. So you took responsibility, said I'm the only one, that can fix it. Don't blame it on anybody else. And accept full, that's a very empowering thing, to accept full responsibility for your business and not place blame. And I'm dwelling on this because I talk to associates regularly who will blame everybody but the person that's staring them back in the mirror for the lack of success that they're having. I mean, it is everybody else's fault. It's the market's fault. It's the economy's fault. It's Legal Shield's fault. It's the attorney's fault. It's this person's fault. No. Look in the mirror, and as soon as you, I guarantee you, will change your business if you will look in the mirror and you will say, you are the one who's responsible for your business. Only you can control what you do, okay? You can't control what other people do, but you can control how you react to them. So how do you react? Let someone steal your dreams because you put so many people on the plan, the first five you put on the plan, all had a lobotomy and they canceled, and now you're in the hole, and now you're frustrated, now you're going to, quit. Oh, you're only hurting yourself at that point, right? Okay? You can't control what they do, but you can control how you react. Okay? Right now it's warm in here. We can't control that, but we can control how we act. We can all sit and go, this is miserable. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's Super Saturday. This is terrible. Oh my gosh, it's so hot in here. Or we can say, you know what? At least we're breathing. Okay? Hey, we're here. We're learning stuff. And it's not going to matter, because we'll say one day, hey, remember that? I was only a senior associate and I was at that training. It was really a little warm, but we got the training, implied that information, and now look at him, a director in the business or whatever. So we can't control what happens and what other people do, but we can control how we react to it. So accept responsibility for your business, and you will see incredible things happen. And always understand, too, that everybody in here has a story. I mean, I always tell people, if you want to quit this business, just talk to me, because I've wanted to do that numerous times, not lately. Okay. Now, that's been years and years. I don't think that now. There's nothing that I've got this. I got Legal Shield armor. There's nothing that can break me, change me, discourage me. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm resilient to that because my belief level is just way, way up here. Okay. And I understand it's a business, and I understand it's a business of people, and I understand that it's not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and the attorneys aren't perfect, and the company's not perfect, and your leaders aren't perfect. None of us are. Okay. And your customers aren't. Okay, and we never know what the story is behind the story of what caused somebody to do what they did. But we can't let those things stand in the way of our success. So we have to just determination and keep trucking. Okay, and I can tell you that market cohesiveness is a big, huge portion of that. Okay, having, let me just back up here, because as you start to believe in yourself, another thing in our business, because it's a team effort, you have to believe in the leaders that are in this room. Okay. Because we all have to be able to believe in each other. So everyone marching to the same tune, okay, means that we're all in file. We're all marching to the same music, okay? We're all heading the same direction, And that's what this company is doing with the One Band, One Sound. Spending the time with the market leaders. How do you get market cohesiveness? And you all are doing pretty decent. I can tell you that I've been in a market. I'm in a market where we did not have it at one time. And I remember how disruptive that was to the entire market and to my business personally, because it was a struggle. It was like a struggle to build your business. It was a struggle at briefings. You were not sure if you could trust the leadership or what was going to be said or, you know, what's going to happen. And there was just this lack of trust, which creates this uneasiness, which was a stopper, you know, for many of us building our business. Okay? Here again, you do your best to not allow that to happen, but the market cohesiveness has a big impact on what happens. Okay? It makes it, let's put it this way. You can build your business still in a market that's not cohesive, but when it's cohesive, oh my, my. Okay, it's like sliding down butter, right? It's like sliding down butter instead of a bunch of Cheerios in the way, okay? So it makes it so much easier. So spend time with the market leaders. Get to know the leaders. Understand their philosophies. Understand where they're coming from. You will start to earn respect for them, okay? And the respect among leaders is very important, the mutual respect, because then what that leads to is being able to trust each other, okay? Then you have that trust. You know, can you trust Sally? You know, can you trust Mark and Leslie? Can you trust Deanne? Can you trust your leaders? Okay? You need to be able to trust in their leadership. Okay? And again, they're human. They're not perfect. But you need to trust that their hearts are in the right place, that they have your best interest at heart as far as an associate and helping you to build your business and doing the things that they're doing. So there has to be that mutual trust, because new people and new associates and guests will pick up on if there's not synergy. If there's not cohesiveness in the marketplace, and a lot of people don't want to be part of something where they feel an uncohesiveness, because people can sense that, and they can sense the opposite. I've had people come to our briefing in Phoenix, and they'll be like, you know what, I didn't really know a whole lot about this, but I just basically walking in this room the first 5 minutes, y'all haven't started yet, but whatever y'all are doing, I think I'd like to do it too. I mean, just based on how they were treated when they got there, and how the cohesiveness, and just they can tell that people like actually really like each other. Like, you like the people you work with? Wow, that's a novel idea, right? I mean, most people in corporate America wouldn't be caught dead at lunch or anything, or let alone a barbecue on a Friday night with the people they work with. We actually like, okay, you had Mr. Branch in the market, okay? I mean, he's my bud. I love him to death. The two of us get along wonderfully, okay? I have a ton of respect for him, and vice versa. Okay, I respect him as a leader, but we're also very good friends too, and like family. Okay, working sideline and crossline, because when you have that trust and have a true interest in others, you can work sideline. It's not the fear of somebody's going to do you wrong or somebody's going to. There has to be a trust in the marketplace amongst everyone too. That look, you know, you can work sideline. There's nothing wrong with that. If one of my associates thinks that they could work better with somebody outside our direct line, and they just think they want to learn from them, I say go. Do it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I don't take it personally. If it's going to help you build your business better, and that's what you need, then you go do that. Because guess what? You win, and when you win, I win. And we're all happy, right? But we have to also be respectful. Michael wants to work with me. I say, Michael, who's your upline support team? Let's make sure they're good with that, and we're all good with that. Okay, always check. We've got to keep that communication. If you have an issue, you have a problem with someone or something, always talk to each other. I mean, market cohesiveness. Because we have such a cohesive market that I have just seen now, especially since Mr. Branch has been in place, the incredible things that it's done in the market and for my business personally. Okay? Your own business will grow. Again, it's like sliding down butter. Get those Cheerios out of the way. So that's what it means to you and your business. Everybody grows together, because that's what team means, right? Together, everybody achieves more. Okay? So commit and stick. Commit and stick. You know, what's your level of commitment? What's your level of commitment? See? Oh, my gosh. There she is. Everhome Mortgage. Calling me again. I kid you not. This woman, I'm going to ask her if I'm the only client she's working with. Like, she must need me to refi my house. I mean, do you want to be that person? There's that Legal Shield. Like, they put in, Legal Shield, don't answer. You don't want them to do that. I'm going to put in Everhome Mortgage because I'm looking going, okay, I'm not answering that. So, right? Point well taken, okay? So we don't want somebody putting in there Legal Shield stalker, okay? We want them to put in Legal Shield so they'll answer it, right? And know who we are and we're calling. So commit and stick. You know, what's your level of commitment? Do a check in the mirror. Where are you at on your commitment level? What are your goals? Share your goals with your upline and the leadership. And let this incredibly cohesive market okay, support you in your efforts and watch your business grow. You're going to go through discouragements. Oh, my gosh. I could tell you, you know, numerous times where I wanted to quit, okay, and was frustrated. But it always went back to, no, why am I in this business? So what's your why? You know, I don't know if anybody wants to share their why. Anybody want to share their why? Why they're in the business? Anybody want to share that? No one's gutsy enough to do that? Yeah? Okay, let's stand up. Share your why are you in Legal Shield?
To empower others.
Okay.
I'm an empower coach and it goes on with what I already do and it enhances and empowers you.
Why do you want to empower others?
Because I believe in empowerment. It makes you happy.
Because it makes people happy?
It makes each other happy.
Makes other people around each other?
I wake up and say I want to be around grumpy all day.
Okay. To empower people because of what the end result is. Okay. See, so what's the end result? What's your why, and what's the results of what you get when you fill that why? So that's why I asked you, you want to empower others, but what does that do when you empower others? What does that mean? Anybody else want to share?
My family,
no one's going to knock you out of this business. Doesn't matter if somebody cancels the plan. Doesn't matter if somebody in your team leaves. Doesn't matter if the law firm makes a mistake and messes up. Right? Doesn't matter because you are set in your why and the results and the reason for that. Why? Because you don't want someone. You want to make sure that your family is taken care of. Okay? So get a good grip on your why. That may sound goofy to some of you that are brand new because if you're in corporate America, work for Intel or an engineer or something, they probably never bother to ask you what your why is because they don't do that. Okay, we do here because that's what's going to keep you going. You're not getting a salaried paycheck every week just for showing up. Okay, that's not how this business works. You work on a commission. So when you work on commission sales and you're building a business that is yours, okay, for the long haul, something willable to your family, that there has to be something there since there's not a weekly paycheck. Okay, there has to be something there that keeps you in the game, that takes you through those rough times. And that's where your why comes in a huge way. And they say your why should make you cry, okay? So really identify that. And it'll evolve and change as you go, okay? I mean, in the beginning, mine was just to make $2,000 a month. I wanted to make that so I didn't have to go work for an idiot boss. Didn't have to, and I'd like to wake up when I'm done sleeping, not when somebody tells me to wake up, okay? Except for this morning, I was okay with that, okay? And, you know, I want to be able to have the freedom to do what I want to do when I want to do it, okay? Which is still a lot of my why, but it's even beyond more than that. Okay, it's being able to do things now that I can't imagine not being able to do things I'm doing. You know, my dad went through some health challenges, had surgery, 6 weeks in the hospital, scared the bejeebus out of me. I was able to get on an airplane and go down there. Then I was able to find out, where do you want to live? Do you want to stay in Colorado or do you want to be in Arizona where you can be closer to us? The answer was, I want to be in Arizona. But Brenda, how are we going to do that? You know, we got a house full of stuff, a lot of stuff. Okay, everything's safe since birth for them. But okay, so a lot of stuff. And no finances to do it because my dad can't work anymore and my mom doesn't work. And it's Social Security and we know what that pays, right? So they have no income. I've got them in the business, right? So I'm starting to recruit underneath them so I can get them a paycheck that way. But I'm able to do things I wouldn't be able to do. I have four brothers and a sister and I'm the only one that's able to do what I'm doing because like they even said it to me. They said, Brenda, you're the only one that can take the time and have the money to do it. They said it, okay? And I said, you're right, I do. Not only be able to fly myself down there, but then I've got a sister-in-law that takes vacation so I can pay for her ticket because she took the vacation but she didn't have the money to go. Okay, so I can take her with me. So this is the kind of stuff I couldn't do without Legal Shield. I can go for 8 to 10 days a month right now. It's what I'm doing every month. When I get back, I'll be heading out again shortly for another 10-day span to help sift through more stuff and get them in a position where they can move, okay, and then help them get set up in a place down in Phoenix. You know, I wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for this business. If I was working a clerical job, it would never have paid me enough, and I couldn't have taken the time. Can you imagine going to your boss saying, I need to take 10 days a month off? And with pay. Because here's what happens. When I'm gone, money's going in my bank account. So I'm gone, I'm able to do it, but I've got money that's still going in my bank account. I got associates that are still selling memberships, and I, too, am selling memberships there. Okay? So, I mean, I write usually a couple plans. Somehow, some way, whether it's somebody I meet on the airplane, and that's what's wonderful about our business is it allows us the freedom to do that, and we can go anywhere and do that. And even make money when we're on vacation or make money when we're taking care of family like that and be earning still even while we're gone and having the freedom. It's priceless. I'm telling you, I've realized through these kinds of things that you cannot put a price tag on the ability to be able to do those things that other people cannot do, okay? And because I don't know what they'd do if I couldn't do that. It would be a really difficult, they'd probably, like my brother said, they would probably end up still being in Colorado. But, you know, that's where they are now. But I'll get them down there in a couple more months. So I share that just to say that's a big passion of mine currently because I'm in the midst of doing that. And that's what this business means to me is being able to do things like that that I need to do, that I want to do, when I want to do them. And I don't have to say, can I get the time off? And I don't have to say, you know, do I have the money? I got to check my bank account. No, I can't afford to do that because that's not an issue. And life's a lot better when you don't have those kind of Cheerios in the way, right? You don't have those Cheerios. So the key is just don't quit. The only people that lose in our business are the ones that quit. Okay, that decide to let the naysayers or the dream stealers or whoever, okay, you know, get in the way of their dreams. I mean, who is someone to tell you that you can't be successful? Who is someone to tell you that you're not going to be able to work this business? Or are you still doing that legal thing? Or, you know, how you've been doing it for months and you're not making any money. You just spend the money on briefings and Super Saturdays and all this other stuff, okay? All right? Well, you know how you take care of that. Revenge is the best policy in this. You know what the best revenge is with something like that? Go make a whole bunch of money. It's the cure for everything in our business to go protect more families. If you got a spouse that's not supporting you, well, make some money. If that check starts coming in, those deposits starts coming in, they will think totally different about your business. You got family members that think you're doing some crazy thing, okay? Just start making enough money, start taking some trips and doing all these things. You drive in a BMW and pull up in their driveway to family barbecue, and that BMW that you're not paying for, the company is, because you're helping families, protect families, and that's how you got it. And they will change their tune about this thing you're in, okay? My family members don't call it a thing at all, okay? They don't. They think Legal Shield's the bomb, all right? Fortunately, I've got a couple of them in the business, so I want to get a few more of them active, okay? I've got a niece that's saying, I think I need to look at this Aunt Brenda, because she's growing up seeing the lifestyle that I have, okay? So now she's 18, I can recruit her, which is a great thing. So that's the best revenge, so to speak. The best way to get the support of your family members if they're not supportive and to stay in the game is just to make money. It's the cure-all. Go protect families. When you protect families and market a plan, okay, you make money. When you recruit somebody, they sell plans, you make an override. It's the cure for everything. Protect a family, make money, goes into your bank account. Now you have family members that are saying, wow, this is pretty cool. It makes it easier to recruit people because now when they say, hey, what have you made? You can say, hey, I've protected X amount of families and I'm earning this kind of income, right? So it's the cure-all for everything. So don't quit. Don't quit. And let me end with this. Oop. Maybe. How many of you have ever felt like that up there? Right? Here you go, electronics. Well, the first one played. You got to have the second one playing. Maybe. Is it loaded, do you think? It's another one of my favorites. Hang on, we'll give it one sec. If we can't play, that's okay. But if you can, it's great. It's my one of my other favorite clips. And it's a short one, too. It's only a few minutes. Oh, there he goes. Okay. Doop, 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 doop. Well, I hope this has helped.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, I'm getting ready to buy a Mac.
Yeah.
I'm about ready to throw my HP off the balcony. Yeah.
Film it so
we
can see.
Yeah, I am going to. My last slide up there. And I'll just tell you this and I'll end on my last slide. I've enjoyed my time here with all of you, and I hope I can just make a difference in even just one of your businesses. Just remember, what we earn in Legal Shield directly relates to the number of people we help. So those that are earning substantial incomes are helping a lot of people and are making a difference in their lives. If you want to make a substantial income, just get the mindset that you're going to go out and help a lot of people. And a lot more people, and a lot more people, and your income will increase right along with it. So God bless. And with that, the man who gets the most satisfactory results is not always the man with the most brilliant single mind, but rather the man who can best coordinate the brains and talents of his associates. Because teamwork makes the dream work. Let this market support you and help you build your business. And when the going gets tough, don't quit.
The only thing that would make the day better is if it was a little cooler in here, huh? That's probably about the only thing we were lacking. So we'll work on that and get that fixed, because I know you guys all make that phone call. But, you know, we want to thank Brenda for coming out here. This is the first Super Saturday we've ever had her out in Utah. We're really excited. And I'm going to turn the time over here to Paula, because she's got a little goodie that she's had working through her committee. I don't know who was all on your committee. You might want to tell everybody who's on your committee.
Okay, anyway, thanks to my committee who did the gift basket and picked out the gift for Brenda. I want to thank all of you, because without the leadership, did they already go out? They already went out. All right, they're already out setting up tickets. Okay, well, anyways, I want to thank Andrea and Shaylin Lucas for helping me. So anyway, well, Shaylin Lucas did the basket. Shayla put it together. I want to tell you what's so funny about that basket. When you're doing gift baskets for people, you have to not let the person coming into town know that you're doing the gift basket. So I text Bill, her other half, and I said, Bill, I need some ideas of what to put in a gift basket for Brenda. So my text comes in, and he says, me. And then he goes through, and he puts a couple items on there, and he says, oh, and did I mention me? And then he puts a couple of more, and he, oh, yeah, and by the way, did I mention me? So it was so cute. But anyway, Brenda, from all of us here in the state of Utah,
ooh, great things come in small packages. Let me just say this. Thanks so much for, to George and Paul, especially, your new regional vice presidents. Support them in any way you can. I'll tell you what, it's a thankless job doing the RVP thing many times, okay? They put far more effort and energy into what they get out of it, typically monetarily. And I tell you what, they're RVPs because they have a huge heart. Because you're not an RVP if you don't have a huge heart, usually, okay? Doing the job that they're doing. So they've got great plans for you. I want to thank them. They're special people, obviously, in my life, having known them over. They've become like family to me in a huge way, okay? They're not just team members that I override. They're much more than that, as you well know, as you build your team, the same thing. But thanks to all of you for making me feel welcome here and taking such good care of me and spoiling me. And, you know, I had, like, I said, I have a family of 12. There's, like, food for 12 in that basket there. So any poundage that I gained while I'm here, the blanket is in my suitcase. I want my blankie. That's going to come in handy on the way back, especially since I might get stuck here. They're saying flash flood warnings. I was just reading my alerts. Flash flood's here. Okay, so I don't know. I might be staying another day. Southwest Airlines called me twice, so there's something up. So who knows? I might be around tonight, too. And if I am, well, good stuff. We'll have some fun. But thanks to all of you. Appreciate you. You know, just, and I'm looking forward to coming back at some point, if you'll have me back. Would love to do that. Get down to the Phoenix Market. You know, let me help you build your business down there. We've got great leadership down there, as you do here. And, you know, plug people in, let us know, send us a text, give me a call, and, you know, let me know that you're sending somebody down there, or if you're down there yourself, and we'll make sure that we take good care of you and your guests and help you build a bit. You can trust, you know, leadership down there for sure, so we'll take good care of that. Should I open and see what cool thing you all got me?
Well, we know there's very little room in your
suitcase. A diamond ring?
No.
Okay.
Bill wanted us to do that, but no, we couldn't do that.
Hold on, got to open the card first, because I'm like a child, right? Open the present, then the card, and your mother's always going, read the card first. That's the proper etiquette.
Don't take some time to read that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, how pretty with sparkles on the front. Wow. Holy cow, you guys are pretty slick. Dude, I'm usually the one that's passing stuff around. How'd you all do that? I didn't even see that. I'm usually pretty good at that, too. Oh, I'll read all these for sure on the airplane. How fun. I read them now, probably make me cry anyway. I'm trying to hang tough up here. No, so don't make me get all sappy, okay? Oh, it's something heavy. If I have to put this in my suitcase, it might be considered a weapon on the airplane. Oh, cool. Awesome. Delicate. It's the Delicate Arch. Yeah. Utah. Etched arch.
It will fit on her desk. Barely. No, it'll fit just perfectly. Yeah, it won't fit on Bill's.
No, it won't fit on Bill's. No. I could hold the sticky notes down on his desk, though, with that. Okay? You all remember the sticky note thing? This is awesome. I love those. That is so cool. Thank you. It's like I put that right on my bookshelf in my office and always be thinking of you. Of course, I think of Utah all the time anyway, so I think I need to come back and ski. All right? I've got somebody's card that's going to hook me up with that whole skiing thing. So I'm going to get out of the way because I know you all are hungry. Turn it back over to your great leader. Thanks again. Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. God bless.
We do have one announcement. Does anybody have a red Sonata?
Oh, that's me.
Hyundai? These keys were sticking out of the door. And Matilda grabbed them on her way in. Does anybody want to buy a red Sonata? Dude, it's all yours.
Maybe they were wanting it to get
I'm wondering if it might be the other room. See if it's the event next door or on the other side. It's nobody here, right? A red Hyundai Sonata. Okay. All right. Just wanted to be sure of that. You know, we appreciate Brendan all the time she spent here, but how many people are excited about hearing about next month? Just to let you know, the leadership in here, we're still working on a few little details on some other ones, but we actually have people get booked out all the way through December right now. And some of the speakers we have will blow you away, all right? Speakers we haven't had here in a long time, and some of the most requested speakers in the entire company. Some of the speakers have actually been here longer than some of you are old, have been with Legal Shield that long, okay? So we're going to talk more about those. No, no. No, Brenda's still 30. I always remember her being 30, and she was always 30, so she's still 30, okay? But, no, we do. October 19th, you want to mark that on your calendar. The 17th, 18th, and 19th, we're going to do a special event with this guest speaker we're going to be bringing in next month. What we're trying to do is we're trying to find the people that are going to fit our market, all right? So we're bringing in males and females, varying backgrounds and everything else. And the gentleman we're actually going to have out here next month, I've been hanging out with at Cancun for like 2 years, and kept asking him when he's coming to Utah, and he said, just ask. So as soon as I became RVP, I texted him, and he goes, when do you want me? So I got Brenda in September. How about October? This gentleman is just like Jason Lavender. He is a gold, he just made platinum 3 months in a row now, okay? So he's on his way to the platinum perks. He has a team. He also, just last December, sold personally 400 memberships, just last December. a group he said he's been working on for 12 years, so it takes time. He's also a senior group vice president, and we're going to throw this up. We're going to kind of throw Fred for a loop. He'll kill me later, but here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to have him do a training like we did on Friday, but we're going to flip it around. We're going to have him, as senior group vice president, do a network marketing training. How many people like that concept? Okay, we'll see if Fred does, but I think it'll be all right. No, I'm just kidding. He said he'd do anything for us. Has anyone ever in here ever heard of Fred Duff?
Yeah.
I mean, he is the man. And if you guys want to be entertained, this guy is entertaining. Brenda, you've known Fred for years, and we've hung out with him in Cancun, him and Celine.
He's awesome. He's a great trainer.
Oh. He's awesome. Okay, so October 19th.
Too.
Now, we're going to leave the ticket price the same way they have been. $20, two for 30, because I want this to be cost effective. That's what our goal is. We have expenses we have to maintain, and we need to cover those expenses. And so what we're going to ask you to do is get as many tickets as you want. Now, if you do what was the girl said? Five for something last time or something. Five for 60. Yeah. We will do five for 80. The girls will tell you how much it costs. I don't know. They know all that stuff, but my concept is two for 30, all right? For $30 to see a millionaire and spend a whole day with him. I want you to get your tickets, come back. We're going to take a picture, and we're going to send it in to Mr. Tony Petrell and have it on the leadership show. It only makes sense. We were number one in overall in per capita for recruiting. So why not when they announce us again this next week, because they will, then they can actually show the picture of our Super Saturday and promote us for Fred Duff. So what you want to do is go ahead and exit the doors there. But before you do that, where'd Mike go? There you are. Mike, you got something we were just talking about. Can you just bring that to everyone's attention, please? I don't think I have to hit it, do I?
I don't know. I'm loud. Can everybody hear me? No?
It's red. Does that mean? Is that red? We got to push
there we
something?
Go. Okay. All right. Anyway, how many people really wish they could have a little bit more time with Miss Brenda Anderson before she leaves town? So, no, never enough. I mean, I was taking copious notes. There's so many things that she spoke on so many things that are so important in building the business, particularly building relationships. And building a relationship with your customer is, of course, important because, you know, when you build that relationship, you sell a membership, you get paid. But she also talked about building relationships with the leaders inside the company, the state leaders, corporate leaders, and spending as much time with them as you possibly can. And so we have got an event that we actually have every single week. After every event, we have a social event afterwards where a lot of us go out to dinner. Unfortunately, it's something we talk about, but we never really promote. And I can honestly attribute more than 50% of the knowledge that I've gained in the business comes from sitting around the dinner table with people like Brenda Anderson and George Wilkinson and Mr. Burns and all of the other leaders and just picking their brains and developing those relationships and really learning the business on a more personal level from them. So we actually have an event we're heading over to right now. Our reservation is actually at 2 o'clock. So get your tickets. We got to hustle. But we're going to Fuji Teppanyaki over on 10649 South State Street. Amazing if you love sushi or if you love teppanyaki and Japanese type food. They do the whole dinner right there, cooking it in front of you, the whole show, flipping shrimp into Ryan Burns' mouth. I mean, all kinds of great stuff. Yeah, so $8 for their lunch special, so anybody can fit that in. What's that? Fuji, yep. So very easy to find, pretty much right on the corner of 106 South and State. We have a reservation for 30, but we'll make it work. They might not like us too much, but anybody that wants to come is welcome to come. Spend a little more time with the leaders and with Miss Brenda Anderson. So what's that? Yeah, it's, you know, very cost-effective for anybody. You know, $8 again for their lunch special. So hopefully we'll see you all over there at Fuji afterwards as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. Okay, let's go ahead and get our tickets. Let's go ahead and get our tickets and then get back out here so we can get pictures. Okay? Ooh, girl, you shine.